It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 10 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, we have some great guests. I've got Chantel with me. How are you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to really understand what's going on in the house and the players and the dynamics. I love doing, you know, the round table because you really get to understand the game and then the gameplay. And so I'm really excited to be here to really lay the groundwork. It's fun.
Mm. Yes. Also with us here today is somebody that I've decided should have some new theme music whenever I introduce her. It's Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa?
I was waiting to hear. I was like, I don't know where this is going. You know what? I like it. I'm interested. So yeah, I'll go with that one. I feel like everyone's been like, not the Squid Game music, but I love the Squid Game music. So I like, it makes me like, I don't know. It's just such like a creepy vibe that it's like, oh man, things are happening in the Big Brother house, but I like it. I'll go with it.
I feel like you can make anything sound creepy with it, right? Like, like, all right, we are here to talk about Big Brother Canada, and we are going to have a great time talking about the live feeds on 24/7.
We're going to have so much fun today.
Ooh.
That's good. Yeah, we should just keep that going in the background.
Just all the time.
The whole time. Yeah, just some good background music.
Unfortunately, we don't have the budget of Big Brother Canada 10, so we can't make our own like version of it that's basically a copy, but not exactly a copy. So you're going to have to play your own Squid Game theme music during the course of this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll give you a chance to get it ready. Just pause this and then quickly go get the Squid Game music, get them running simultaneously.
Yeah.
We'll be set.
It's like that Pink Floyd thing or whatever, where you play the Pink Floyd album with like what, Wizard of Oz or something. Isn't that a thing? I don't know.
Oh, right.
Is that one of those like,
yeah, you like play it at the same time and it like matches up or something. That's what we'll do. We'll like prepare this so that way at each like important point in the music or something happens in the music, like we'll have like paused and then we'll, you know, yeah, I like it.
Fun really fact, if you play every roundtable, this is a thing for, if you play it in reverse at one point in the roundtable, we tell you who wins the game because it's all been, you know, predetermined. That's a sort of a secret thing. Nobody's caught on yet, but now you know.
Yeah, I'm shocked no one's caught that yet.
I know, for years.
So surprising.
It's always been kind of weird when we say the name backwards, like during the round table, but no one ever like says, hey, what was that? You know, it's like no one catches it. We're just waiting for the day that someone decides, let's put this record on backwards.
Okay, well,
we're wasting so much time and we have so much to get through. We literally, before we started, we're like, okay, guys, we're going to power so through this. We're going to be focused. No, we're just talking about like dumb stuff. What are we even doing?
I think we're here to talk about
everything that happened this week, the opening week, technically, of the live feeds of Big Brother Canada 10. We get through it all. We're going to talk about the alliances, the state of the house. We're going to rate all of the players from 1 to 10 based on how well we think they're doing. I also sent out a survey where you, can rate the players. And there's all other kinds of questions for you to answer and give your opinion on. The survey is still open for another 15 minutes. If you want to go to at Taryn Armstrong at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter, I have the link there. You still have a little bit of time to fill it out if you're watching this live. If you're watching from the future, too bad. get in the past already.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Let's talk about it. Chantel, how have you been feeling about the season so far?
I feel like I actually can't believe it's only been around a week that like we know about these people like live in the house and seeing the episodes. I'm really enjoying it, but I also don't see that people are really playing the game. And so I'm just kind of waiting for people to actually start playing. I'm hoping that not everybody just like goes out of the game and just is like, well, I lost. Well, I lost, which it kind of seems a little bit like people kind of, you know, didn't really fight to stay, but I'm hoping that it's going to be going on an upward trajectory. I'm enjoying all the people, all the characters, all the outfits. I'm just like, I'm enjoying it, but I hope it gets a little bit more strategic.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've found it to be relatively strategic. It's a very messy kind of strategic right now, maybe, but I think, yeah, like it's, which I think is a good thing though, because, you know, we have this, Savage Seven, we'll talk about it. But the fact that they're not as coherent as they should be, I think is going to be a very good thing for the future of the season. Melissa, how have you found the live feed so far?
Yeah, I feel like I've struggled to fully know the house structure because I feel like it's just, I'll think, oh, okay, this is basically how it is. He's working with him, she's working with them, whatever. And then it turns out that like, the next feed will cut to someone else talking about how they're not working with someone who I thought they were working with. And it just feels like you're right. It seems very messy and very fluid, which I think is good because, you know, if it was simple and it was just like, oh, this Savage Seven thing, they're just picking off the rest of the people and that's it. And let's move on. Like we'd be so bored. So I do like the fact that it's like a little bit messy, a little more fluid, like the alliances that we thought were maybe solid are seemingly kind of having issues already or maybe just like tension or maybe more like lack of trust between them than we thought. So I think that's great. And, you know, I feel like the ratings today are going to be very hard for me because I just don't know. I watched your update this morning and someone asked, you know, who's playing the best game. And I was like, you were like, well, we'll figure that out on the roundtable. And I was thinking to myself, like, who do I think is playing the best game? Like, I literally don't know who's playing the best game. And I had to go through like a few different options of like, well, you know, they're doing good things or, you know, but they had this problem or whatever. And there's no like clear winner, no clear alliance on top or anything like that. So, you know, I'm very interested to see how this goes. You know, obviously, like watch us like a few weeks from now being like, darn it, this Savage Seven is, you know, just getting everyone out. But, you know, at least at this point, it is very exciting. And yeah, it's good.
It's good. Well, this is what we're here for. We're going to try and help sort of illuminate the house structure for everyone here and try to figure out who is playing the best game. So I think we should start with that because sort of recapping the events of the week before you know where the structure lies might be a little confusing. I also do have the cast photos and names here. If you're watching along, I've been pulling these up for the updates this week. You know, we're only three episodes in and a lot of people don't physically like actively watch the feeds. They rely on updates or things like that. And so they have a hard time connecting names to faces in the first week or so. So you can cross-reference here if you're watching along as I run through sort of what we're looking at. So the house structure, if you had asked us a week ago, like when not a week ago, really, I mean, if you started Thursday night. If you had asked me half a week ago, I would have told you it's pretty stable. There was one big alliance and then a couple of side alliances. And so this is how it started. This is what we've kind of seen on the show. The Savage Seven was the main alliance and it consisted of Herman, who according to the episodes was the person who started the alliance. And then we had Josh and Moose, who were both safe from that first HOH competition. They also had Kyle. They brought in Gino, Summer, and Tanisha. So it's those seven that were the Savage Seven. They pointed to, some of them were pointing to their elbow. Some of them were pointing to their forearm. The forearm makes a lot more sense. And I believe is true to the original reference now that I've seen it. Ice in their veins, and they have, you know, also it's the number seven. Like, I don't know. Cool. I don't know where my, what my,
it absolutely my... looks like they're doing heroin. Like they're like, yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. Oh, that is automatically what I thought they were doing. I was like, what is the reference here? I don't get it. Mm. But yeah, okay.
I do prefer the elbow alliance as well, but what are you going to do? So that was the Savage Seven. And then in addition to the Savage Seven, you had a couple of side alliances happening, one of which we also saw in the episodes, the premiere episode, which was the Honey Bunch, which was JC, Summer, Gino, and Josh. All three of the four of them were a part of Savage Seven. JC was not. They call JC Jace in the house. So if, you hear me saying Jace, then, that is who I'm referring to. Then we have another side alliance that's happening, which is called the Retreat, like the singles retreat. Everyone in the alliance is single. That consists of Herman, Kyle, Gino, JC, and Stephanie. And so that is another alliance that is happening in the house. Then there was another one, which is a four-person guy alliance, which was Marty, Kyle, Gino, and Moose. So that, and then yet another one called Man Down or Man's Down or whatever it is, which is Betty, Helena, Summer, and Tanisha. It's which is an all women's alliance. Now, here's the thing about every alliance that I just gave you. None of them, after the, you know, 4 or 5 days that the feeds have been up, have really stayed consistently alliances. But that's the basic, like that's the structure of where things kind of started, and lines are getting a little muddied. So here's where the lines are getting muddied. Marty, Gino, Kyle, and Moose. That's a four-person alliance. Marty won the HOH, and so this alliance should have been kind of solidified, and it was to a degree because Kyle, Marty, and Gino have gotten much closer. However, they are not the biggest Moose fans. They think Moose is a wild card. He's Mayhem Moose. And Marty wants to replace Moose with Herman. And so that is in the works at this time, that Herman may end up replacing Moose in this guy alliance, Kyle, Marty, Gino, and now Herman instead of Moose. Now, the Retreat is an alliance that has sort of maintained its integrity to some degree. JC and Stephanie are both mostly loyal to the Retreat. That is where their loyalties lie. So if you're looking at, and I think that's important to look at when you're looking at these alliances as well, who is fully invested in the alliance? Jace and Stephanie, they are most invested in the Retreat. They believe that everyone else in the Retreat is most invested in the Retreat. That is not the case for any of the other three guys in the alliance. Herman, at this time, I think is most invested in the Savage Seven, the alliance that he feels he created. He feels like it's a good place to be. We'll see how he feels once he gets pulled into the Marty group. For Marty, his alliance is the Marty group. It's the four guys. He wants Herman in there instead of Moose. For Kyle and Gino, I think this is their primary loyalty as well. Their loyalty is to each other, Kyle and Gino, primarily, more so than Marty or Herman or Moose or anyone else, including Jace at this time. As you've seen in the episodes, Gino and Jace have a bit of a connection, which is part of why they are in that Retreat together. Although I don't know if they get kicked out if they start hooking up because they're not single anymore. but, you know, that's its own thing. Summer and Tanisha are also loyal to the Savage Seven. to a degree. They have this man down alliance on the side that they are working, but for them, it's just kind of a side thing. Helena, who is part of the man down alliance, also views it as a side thing, a backup, not her primary loyalty. Her primary loyalty is to herself. She has a lot of different individual allies that would take way too long to get into at this point in time. Betty is basically all in on man down, but primarily because she doesn't really have much else. As we'll talk about, she's also on the block. So it's not a great place. Then you have Josh, who is in the Savage Seven, but feels no loyalty to it whatsoever. He's in Honey Bunch, but feels no loyalty there whatsoever either. He doesn't talk game with anybody that he's aligned with, and they're all skeptical of him because he doesn't talk game with anybody that he's aligned with. And he would like to work with Jay, but Jay is also on the block and looking like he's about to go out of the game. Then you have Moose, who is, yes, part of the Savage Seven. Yes, part of the Marty crew. Yes, part of, he's got a thing with Herman. He's got a lot of things going. But Moose is a wild card. Moose is all over the place. Moose has no loyalty to anybody. Except maybe Kyle, who we have learned Moose and Kyle did know each other prior to entering the game. But Moose is all about targeting Tanisha right now. We'll see how long that lasts. But he has no loyalty to the Savage Seven. He will bust that open in a heartbeat. And then again, the Honey Bunch has basically dissolved. There's been no mention of the Honey Bunch for days. And, there's no real, loyalty there. Again, Josh being one of the four. When they don't even trust Josh means that it's basically a dead alliance. So if I'm going to try to give you the breakdown of where things stand right now, it would be that Kyle, Marty, and Gino are in their thing. Kyle and Gino really the center still of everything because they've got the Marty thing with potentially Herman and or Moose. They've got the retreat thing with Stephanie and Jace. And then sort of on the edge of what they've got Summer and Tanisha. Kind of loyal via Savage, the remnants of Savage Seven. Kyle in particular also has some good relationships with Helena, Jess, and Kevin, all of whom they feel they can pull in as sort of wild cards that they can scoop up. So that's the sort of direction of where Kyle and his crew want the structure to go. And as of right now, nobody's really countering it yet. So hopefully that was somewhat enlightening. I know it was a lot. Hopefully the names up on the screen helped, but, that's kind of where we are at this time. Then the next HOH is going to matter a lot because it will determine which of these groups ends up solidifying and what direction this house is going to go in, moving forward. So, what do you think of all that, Melissa?
I think it's a lot. I feel like there's just so many different combinations of people that it's hard not to get caught up in like, oh, wait, who's in what? Who's in doing this? And I feel like you're right. It doesn't fully matter until we get the next HOH and see if any of these alliances actually are real. So it's if someone from the Savage Seven wins the next HOH and then they win the next HOH, it's like, well, that alliance is going to be like, yeah, no, this is our alliance. Same with like Man Down or whatever. If someone from Man Down wins this next HOH and then someone else wins the next one or whatever, it's like, oh yeah, no, we're together. This was real. This is our full like number one alliance. So the first couple HOHs I think are really important in terms of solidifying a house structure. Right now, there just are a lot of interconnected, intertwined alliances that nobody seems to be fully on board with any of the alliances they're in. It really doesn't feel like anyone's like so gung-ho about any of them. So, I think is a good thing, honestly, because it leaves open the option for a change-up rather than, okay, everyone just sticks with their day one alliance and that's that. And no one, flips around, no one does anything. So, it hopefully will make for an interesting house moving forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, hearing all of it, like I know all this information, but hearing it kind of placed out, I'm like, this doesn't actually matter. It could all just completely disintegrate. Mm-hmm. One person wins and everybody just like, you know, changes their lines, changes who they're working with, and like everything could be dismantled. So I like that there's some sort of people that we can look at and structures that we can kind of look at. But I think the most exciting part will be to see if this house of cards falls down and how it kind of, you know, lays out after the next head of household. So it's interesting, but I want to see it all fall apart.
Yeah. And I also think that something else that's interesting from it is not necessarily the alliance themselves, but the thoughts of the alliance members of the other alliance members, if that makes sense. Like, for example, like Moose, people thinking, you know, this guy, I don't trust Moose. And you're kind of getting those vibes from a lot of his different alliance members. And same with like a few of the other people where it's like, and same with like Josh, where it's like, okay, we're working with him, but now I'm kind of suspicious of him. I don't know if he's talking game with me. I don't know if I want to continue working with him. And so I feel like it starts to kind of create a hierarchy where it's like, even though those people are in the big alliances or the strong quote unquote alliances, they're at the bottom and there's a good chance that they'll get cut right in the beginning and replaced with someone else, just like they were trying to replace Moose with Herman. So I feel like that is more indicative of how someone's going to play versus, you know, well, how many alliances are they in? Because, you could be in a ton of alliances, but if your alliance members don't trust you and you're at the bottom of every alliance, well, like that's not a good spot to be in either.
Yeah, it's an interesting layout. Again, you do have a few sort of lone wolves here. Jay and Betty right now are on the block. Again, we'll get to the recap shortly, but they are kind of stuck in that position right now. Then you have Helena, Jess, and Kevin, who are all pretty much out of any big groups. Helena again is in the Man Down alliance, but that's a pretty loose group at the moment. However, Helena does have a lot of good individual relationships. She has a great relationship with Kyle, with Marty, with Kevin. She's talked with a bunch of people and has a few different final twos and is in talks to be pulled into different groups that are still being formulated. So Helena's doing well there. And then you have Kevin, who is basically doing the same thing, but from a slightly less respected position. And he is talking to Kyle and to Helena and to Summer, and to Marty. And he's making some inroads. He's getting in and, you know, people are really starting to not talk about targeting Kevin, Jess, or Helena. In some ways, they're some of the safer people in the house in the sense that nobody really wants to target them at the moment. However, they're also pretty vulnerable to be targeted if the wrong person gets HOH and they're just looking for somebody to target that doesn't have a big group backing. So that's another thing to watch out for here. They are all three of them wild cards and all three of them capable and smart players, I think. So that should really throw a wrench into the house dynamic as well. So that's another interesting thing to keep an eye on here as we move forward. All right. So, let's quickly recap what we've seen here. Obviously on the show, we saw the results of the events of the first week, which were basically, we didn't see anything. Jess and Melina went on the block. Jess won the veto. Kevin went up as the replacement. Melina went home. And then Marty won the following HOH. Marty did not want to nominate Jess, despite the fact that Jess was the easy target, and instead wanted to go after Jay, somebody he felt that he had reached out to in the past and hadn't really come back to him. Jay has said that they feel that they were not focusing enough on talking game in the first week, and that has come back to bite them. So Jay is the target with initially JC as the pawn. JC is connected to Stephanie. They're both in that retreat alliance. They have kind of a thing together. And Marty didn't trust Stephanie, and thus he didn't trust JC either. He put both JC and Jay on the block. JC then won the veto. And in the meantime, Marty had decided that Jess, despite telling Jess that he was not going to put the, or that he would put them on the block as the replacement, decided against it and decided instead he was going to put Kevin on the block as the replacement. But then Kevin was talking to him for a while and he eventually decided against doing that as well and blindsided Betty as the replacement nominee on the block. He blindsided the intended pawn as a replacement nominee.
What was his reasoning for that? I could not figure that out.
He didn't want people to be able to prepare, and he feels like he caught some people scrambling afterward.
Reacting to something that they didn't know was going to happen.
Yeah. It's like, that shows them. Like, it's like, what? It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. It just is a bad move. It just creates enemies and it makes people feel like he's unpredictable.
Yeah. So that happened. Betty was not pleased. Betty is pissed at Kevin, feeling like Kevin is either the reason that she's up or she's just mad that it's her and not him when it was supposed to be him. But she has kind of been sulking a little bit about that. And as of right now, Jay is still the one that will be going home. Jay did confront Kyle and say, "Hey, I'm coming for you and your boys," essentially, which obviously didn't go down well with Kyle or the boys. And they're all pretty set on taking Jay out. And in addition, there's been a little bit of drama with Summer and Tanisha, who feel that Jay tried to convince them that Steph and Jace were coming after them. And when Summer confronted Jace about it, Jace said that's a lie. And so they feel like Jay was trying to play them and they really would like for Jay to leave as well. So it's not even like there's a little bit of like resistance or hesitation there. As of right now, I think some of the only people that want Jay to actively want Jay to stay are Jess because Jess has expressed that they feel that, having another non-binary person in the house was so cool and they really don't want Jay to go so early. Kevin was told off by Betty, pretty declaratively. And, I'm sure would not mind Jay sticking around if that was a possibility. And Josh is very close with Jay and would definitely like to see Jay stay. But apart from those three, it's looking pretty bleak. Jay would pretty much need 7 votes or 6 with the blessing of Marty to break the tie in their favor. And as of right now, that is not looking very likely, but there are still, a couple of days to make it happen. But I don't think Jay has been working. I think that I like Jay's mindset. Jay is working. They're thinking through options of what they could do to save themselves. The problem is that they still are not enacting these ideas. They did this whole fashion show today, which was, very fun and people enjoyed it. But, that's not the strategic talks that Jay missed out on in that first week when they were just kind of chilling. This is just more kind of chilling. They really need to get to the strategy talks if they want any hope here. And it just hasn't happened yet.
And yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. Jay's been really talking about not wanting to throw Betty under the bus if it's going to be for nothing. So I really don't see them really making this last ditch effort. I think they're just going to take it on the chin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, at this point, it doesn't seem likely that people will want to get Betty out over Jay. I think if someone had been put up next to Jay that was, a big physical threat or something like that, maybe Jay could turn the tides and kind of, convince someone that it's better for their game that he stay or that they stay. But, but with Betty, the one thing to consider is that she does seem to be kind of not rational sometimes and very emotional and just kind of, I really don't know ever what she's doing. When she was like telling Kevin that she never wanted to speak to him again and stuff for like what reason, I don't know. It's just a lot. And I think like Betty could absolutely screw this up and end up going home. But I think that would have to be Betty messing up versus Jay having to do something. Because, you know, I think Jay just played this week very wrong from the get-go. I think prior to the veto competition being played, Jay shouldn't have been, you know, threatening people, number one. And, you know, number two, you know, I feel like they were playing this week as if they were in a position of power when really they're not in any position of power. And in fact, they need the help of the people who are in power. And I feel like they should have been more focused on trying to say, you know, hey, I can work with you. I want to work with you moving forward, instead of I'm coming after you and all your bros. It's like, I just feel like that was such a bad play. And I get where they were coming from when they were saying, like, okay, you're in an alliance. Like, these are the guys, you know, they realized, you know, hey, I have some information here. But instead of using that information to their advantage, they just like told Kyle that they knew this information and then threatened him. Like, I don't know what they were thinking when it came to that. But, you know, I just think they kind of like dug their own grave in this situation. And so the odds are Jay will probably be going home.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some questions that I ask on the survey that, you know, we can get to before we end up rating these players. I asked the audience to rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week. I feel like the episodes have not been great so far. We've had three episodes. The first one was the premiere, which was like more than half of it was just the intros we've already seen. And then the second episode was so rushed and felt very strange. And then the third episode was just so focused on Marty as HOH, and he was not like the most interesting HOH. I felt like there were a lot of more interesting things they could have focused on. So I feel like the episodes have been kind of weak so far. The audience gave the episodes a 5.5, which I feel like maybe I could go that high.
Yeah. I think it's fair. That is pretty fair. What I like about the episodes is obviously the diary room. So at least we get to see a little bit of people's characters, but they definitely could have been doing a better job with kind of showing what's going on in the actual house and maybe having a 2-hour premiere episode and not rushing through everything. And then having like everything happen on the second episode. So yeah, I don't think that they organized it properly, but 5.5, that's pretty good. That's yeah. Fair. Or would you give the 3?
I'd probably like go like an even 5 or maybe okay. Maybe a little lower, but how would I rate the feeds this week? I asked the audience, how would you rate the feeds this week? They give the feeds a 6.5, which I felt was maybe a little low, because I do feel like the feeds have been pretty good. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of game talk happening. Certainly a lot of cuts, which
yeah,
is
I was
going to
say
annoying.
That probably yeah. Probably takes away from the score.
Yeah, I would say like grading on the Big Brother Canada curve, I would say it's higher than a 6.5. But if you're frustrated with the cuts, then I definitely understand that.
I also feel like the cuts are happening during times where we really need to see what's going on, or you know, it's crucial information. Like for example, when it cuts to Betty telling Kevin that she never wants to talk to him again. And it's like, we don't know the context of that conversation. We don't know what he said to her or what happened. And even if we find out information later, it still is kind of like, okay, but we're not seeing the initial conversation. And then also, you know, when Jay starts accusing Kyle of, you know, making monkey noises and stuff, and then immediately it cuts and then we don't get feeds again. And it's like, well, we don't know what happened there. We don't know if there was like an aftermath. We don't know what he's talking or they're talking about. Like, you know, I just feel like that sort of stuff is things that like we would need to know. And instead it's like, then we just get feeds of one person in a room saying nothing and like folding laundry. And it's like, that's not helpful. So that doesn't give us anything. And there's so many people in the house. You can show us this one person in one room folding laundry silently. Like, I just feel like that's not helpful. So I don't know. That has been the most frustrating thing. So even if there are interesting events occurring on the feeds, it's like, it definitely takes away from the enjoyment, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And we did go over what Melissa was talking about on the Sunday morning update, if you want to get in some in-depth on that. I also asked the audience, how would you rate the season as a whole so far? And they said a 6.6, which I do feel like it's kind of a conservative rating for a first week. But I think, you know, the fact that the episodes haven't really kicked into gear yet. And, you know, the, you know, I guess if the feeds aren't the most exciting for the audience at this point, 6.6, would probably feel right. But I would say at least a 7 for me. I mean, I'm digging the cast and I'm liking where the strategy is. I feel like there are a lot of characters and I feel like a lot of people are playing hard and it's a pretty even playing field so far. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about the season so far.
And I'm definitely looking forward to episodes. I remember at the end of Celebrity Big Brother 3, mm-hmm. I was just like, I guess I'll watch this. Like, it was like really like not fun, but this is like, ooh, like Big Brother's on, like what's going to happen? So I am kind of invigorated. I am excited to see like how things are going to shake out. I do really like the cast. So yeah, I'd be give it a little bit higher than a 6.6. 7 sounds fair to me.
I think my, not problem with it, but I guess like why people are rating it lower than you guys are thinking is maybe like the idea that last week we didn't really know, but you know, this week as well, it does seem kind of like an easy, like out, like not like an easy out, but just like, there's
tension. The vote is straightforward. Yeah. Like the beginning of last season was a similar HOH where somebody kind of on the outs ended up nominating another person that was on the outs. Mm-hmm. But then it got wild because they flip flopped a bunch of times and exposed themselves. We haven't gotten to that portion of of the week yet. I don't expect that we will. But I do think that Marty ultimately had a better HOH overall. I think that he has built a little bit here that could help him. But and I think that there is a lot going on where, like, you know, things were more solid than they were in Big Brother Canada 9 sort of to this point. And then they went completely wild. Whereas mm-hmm. now we're kind of in this middle zone where it's like we're not that solid, but we also haven't gone, completely out of our minds. So. We'll see where all of that goes.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I feel like for me, I would be wary of rating it higher at this point just because I don't know where it's going to go and it really could go either way. And we've been burned before. And like the idea that like
being cautious.
Yeah, exactly. Being very cautious about it because it's like the idea that this 7-person alliance could absolutely just like steamroll the rest of the season is like weighing heavily on me. But the hope is that like, the hope is that they don't, because so far they haven't really been super solid and, you know, like we'll see what happens. But I feel like that's always lingering there, at least mm-hmm. in the beginning.
I asked the audience to rate the competitions this week. And we finally got a rating that wasn't just like a 5 for this, a 6.9. It was actually the highest rating that the season has so far. People are digging the competitions and I agree. Mm-hmm. I think the competitions have been good so far. I've mentioned this so many times, but Arissa promised us, she said they were looking into the competitions. They wanted to make them a little more equitable. And I think they've done a good job so far and we'll see if it continues. But I agree. I think the competitions have been good.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the fact also that, you know, Marty won the second HOH, he's not known as like the most athletic guy. He's not athletic, but he's not like one of the big athlete bros or whatever. And then also Stephanie was, you know, almost won the HOH. And then now JC Lynn just won veto. Like the fact that other people are able to win is a good sign so far.
Yeah. I mean, all four major comps have had different winners so far. That's, mm-hmm. that's great news.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, though, with Betty wanting to come in as a comp beast, I wonder what kind of games would it be her forte, because she hasn't been doing so great in these ones so far. Yes. So I want to see her, see what she would shine in.
Yes. Finally, ask the audience to rate the choose a door twist after the eviction. Choose a door. 5.6 for the twist, which I think is fair because like it hasn't really given us anything, but it also hasn't taken anything away. So it's not like actively terrible.
What is it? Why? Why did they do this twist? Like, I don't understand what they're trying
to do. I feel like it has to turn into something more in the future. It's not just going to be money every time.
What? It's just encouraging people to want to be a pawn? Like, I don't know. I don't really get it. Like do we want someone to want to be a pawn? No. Like, I don't want that. So, like, I don't know what they want from this.
Well, it's going along with like the game show kind of theme. So I think it's just like an opportunity to give more money, have a little more special effects, like open door. I do hope that it's going to have some powers that are going to be a little bit more interesting and that will shake up the game a bit. But mm-hmm. I think it's just to go along with the game show theme, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if it's not just like, oh, you then like get money. And the question is, how much money do you get? And instead yeah, it's like you either get money or maybe you get like a slot pass or you get like some sort of power or you get HOH or like something crazy or like some sort of veto or something like maybe that could be interesting because then you really don't know what it's going to be. It's like, or ooh. Even like, and it can even be like punishments too. Like it doesn't need to be like, so that way it's not like you want to be a pawn. It's just like, well, like now you have to pick and we don't know what's going to happen. Hopefully it's good. Yeah. It's a risk. It's like, you know, the hope is that, I mean, I don't know if I want something like so crazy, like, oh, yeah, automatic eviction or something. But like, yeah, but like just something small that's like, oh, like can't compete in the next HOH or something like that where it's like not good, but it doesn't completely destroy your game if you're like set up okay. But I think the only problem with that is if you get into a situation where it's like a giant majority alliance and then they keep putting people on the block who they want to get out. And it's just like these outsiders and we're like, come on, you can win HOH next. We just got to change the power structure. And then it's like they get this punishment. That's like, oh yeah, automatic nomination. Well,
that's the thing. The people on the outs are a lot more likely to be the vote survivors. So that's actually why I feel like giving advantages in this spot is kind of one of the better spots to do it. Cause like, even if cause a lot of what happens is like, okay, this power would be great to help save someone from the block. The problem is that what happens if the people in the minority win? And now there's a power in play that the majority probably got to help save them from the block.
Right.
But even if the minority wins and targets the majority and takes one of the majority out, and then the person that survives gets a power, like, okay, that's bad news for the future. It's like, they still got one out though. Like, like they still got the shot in. And it would take a successful shot in order for them to get that power in the first place. I'm kind of okay. I wouldn't even be mad. I don't think if like, hey, behind one of these doors is the HOH win.
Ooh.
Like, you just survived the block. You choose one of these three doors. One of them is you get the HOH. And now you really have to consider if you're the HOH, do you want to win the HOH? Who am I putting on the block to piss them off? Like, I think that the HOH power needs to have a little bit more of a counterbalance in that way, in a way that it's like, look, if the minority is going after the majority, they're kind of screwed anyway. They're at low odds to win the HOH anyway. So giving the shot at least still lands. But more often than not, it's going to be somebody in the minority who might have an advantage or a higher likelihood to win HOH to retaliate, which I think is a good thing. So we'll see. I think there's potential here.
Yeah,
and then definitely. It's just going to be money every week, and we're just going to be like,
oh, okay, cool. So they're just getting money, boring.
So them, I asked the audience, who did you agree with Herman's decision to target Jess? Essentially, who is the best person for Herman to have targeted? And the audience said Jess was the right person with Melina in second place. We didn't see the feeds here, so there's not really much else going on there. I asked about Marty though. Who is the best person for Marty to have targeted for his game this week? The audience said by a slim margin, Stephanie. You keep saying you want to target Stephanie. You should be targeting Stephanie. And then just behind Stephanie was Jay, 33%. And I have to agree. I mean, the thing about it is that I don't think anybody was targeting Marty. I don't think there was anybody that was like coming for Marty. So in terms of choosing a target, I guess Jay is okay if it feels like they're never really going to get along very well. But the thing is, it's all self-fulfilling prophecy. Anybody that Marty decides he's not getting along with or decides he wants to target is going to be the person he should target because nobody else, like, it's not like a solid person that's coming for him at this point. So if he's going to say he doesn't trust Stephanie, he should just target Stephanie. And Stephanie is a little more connected to the power structure than Jay is. So I do think that Stephanie is a little bit better of a shot. Anyway, I think there were even better shots, though, people that would really stand in the way of him infiltrating a true power structure. But, that's sort of advanced level play. That's we're getting a little too far ahead there.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard in the first few weeks to really determine, like, if someone's a good target for someone else, because, you know, a lot of it is just like let's not upset the house. Let's just get someone out that isn't really getting along with everyone or doesn't really have like a solid base there most of the time. Or else it's like, let's target alpha males or something because they're going to be good in competitions or, you know, it's really hard. You kind of have to go off of really nothing. And so it really is hard to say whether or not like this is the right move for him. But I think you're right in that like whoever he targets is someone that's going to end up not wanting to work with him or coming after him. So you might as well just target that person. So now that Jay's up there, like Jay's got to go. Although, you know, it does seem like Betty is not thrilled either. And I think he played that really, really wrong.
Yeah. Then I asked, who do you want to be evicted this week between Jay and Betty? Who would you prefer to see leave? 70% of the audience says Jay. They want to see Jay leave over Betty. I thought this was interesting because I feel like there's not like a huge difference in their position in the game right now. And so it's interesting to see Jay there. I feel like Betty kind of just very recently entered the spotlight. So 70% against Jay there. And then finally, who would you like to see win HOH next week? Jess in first place with 17%, followed by Betty and Helena tied for second. Followed by Moose and Kevin. So top picks, Jess, Betty, Helena, Moose, Kevin for HOH.
So basically people on the outs, no one in the big alliance is essentially.
Anybody that would do something interesting, essentially, yeah. Which I think is a good call.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, are we ready for some ratings?
Yes.
Okay, this is what we do every week here on the Roundtable. We go through every player left in the game and we give them a rating from 1 to 10. 1 being the worst. They have no chance to win. They're playing as bad as can be in the week that they're playing. 10 being they're playing as good as possible, as well as they could potentially play in a week of Big Brother. And that's how we do it. I also poll the audience for their opinions on the players. And so I'm going to pull up a visual that will allow us to, it's not that one. It's not that one that will allow us to look at what we're doing, at what we're rating here, as we go through. And, we will start with Betty, who is in fact on the block. How do we feel about Betty, Melissa? What are you thinking?
This is tough, and I have to be honest, I feel like a lot of my ratings this week are going to be very middling because I feel like a lot of these people, like they're all kind of like neutral, and it's hard to determine whether or not they're playing well or not. I think for Betty, I think points are deducted because, you know, number one, she's on the block right now, which is not a great position. And number two, she is not handling it well. I mean, obviously, it's not great to be blindsided for sure. But I think also the way you like handle yourself once that it happens is gonna, you know, it's gonna be more important, I think, than like knowing in the first place. So I think after she gets put on the block, I don't think she handles it well with Kevin. I mean, I don't even know why she was mad at him. I guess she thought he must have like thrown her under the bus or something to Marty, and that's the only reason why Marty would put her up instead of him. I don't know. But that's not what you're supposed to do when you need his vote at this point. Like, you can tell yourself, like, I'm not trusting that guy ever again. But don't sit there and get into a whole argument with him and say you're never speaking to him again and all this like stuff. I mean, right before, like, she needs his vote. She needs these votes. So I think that that's just, it was not done well. And that does not make me think that she's going to play well in the future. I think that I just feel like she's going to be a very emotional player and won't be able to kind of fake it with anyone. I think she's just going to tell people what she's really thinking, and that's that. And, you know, that's an interesting way to play, but I think that that definitely could hurt her in the game moving forward. So I think also because she's not really in any of the structure of the house, I'm going to give her a 3, but hoping that she can go up.
Yeah. I feel like I have to be hard on Betty here because, you know, not only has she not been playing super great, she's essentially turned down offers of, you know, like people that would like to work with her, like JC has approached her a couple of times, and it's just not really going anywhere. She doesn't really go out of her way to make people feel comfortable with her in general. And that's all like not great. In addition to that, she's already getting a reputation for like not being great at comps, which if it's true and that holds, like that's a really bad thing for her, in the end game. You know, if she wants to gain the respect of the other players, she's going to have to win some competitions. So she has to turn that perception around as well. In addition to that, she is on the block and could theoretically go home. I don't think she will, but the fact that she's on the block is sort of an example of, you know, the other things that I'm talking about. Marty is not threatened by her in any way because he doesn't think she can win comps, and he doesn't feel comfortable with her because she doesn't make people feel comfortable with her in the game, because she, when asked by people like, where are you voting? She's like, I don't know. To JC, who was like, she was like, oh yeah, I was telling people I didn't know who I was going to vote for, but I mean, I was definitely sure. Yeah. It's like, you just tell people, yes, I was totally with you. I was definitely with you. You know, that's a big thing. And so the fact that you're on the, and then her response to being put on the block was to go after Kevin, which doesn't really make any sense. And she has not really responded in a strategic way. So for me, it's gotta be a 2. This is bad news for Betty. It's bad news.
Bad news for Betty.
Chantal, what do you think?
Well, obviously I agree with everything that you guys have both have said. And, you know, the fact that Betty's really upset with the fact that Marty has put her up now. Like, yes, I understand having that reaction. He said that you can put your feet up. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. I get that. So what, that she just did that? She put her feet up and didn't do anything? You know, like, you still want to be developing these relationships with these people, even if they say that you are safe. And I think one of the reasons why Jay is in this position was because they didn't do any work that first few days when they had safety. And so you had safety, Betty. Why weren't you still having conversations with the head of household? Like, you could potentially be a renomination. So the fact that she just stopped putting in any sort of work once she got like the, hey, you're going to be fine, put your feet up, is a bit of a red flag for what is to come with her game. also with the fact that she's wishy-washy with where she stands. If nobody knows where you stand, that means you either stand with someone else or that they can't rely on you for your vote or know what you are going to do. And she didn't make J.C. Lynn feel safe at all when J.C. Lynn was still on the block. And you're just kind of like, well, what if she takes herself off with the veto? Like, what? Like, you might need to have her vote in the future in some way. So the fact that she didn't really play this week well at all, she is staying. And so I'm not going to go as low as you, Taryn, but I'm going to give her a 3 like Melissa. I think that maybe she has some room for improvement. And she is going to be staying this week, but I don't really have high hopes for her strategy and gaming because she says she's blunt and she is blunt, but it's not necessarily good for her game.
Mm-hmm. The audience agrees with the two of you here. The audience gave Betty a 3. Not quite as low as I was for Betty, but what are you going to do? There we go. Let's move on to Gino. Let's talk about Gino in the game. Oh boy. Oh boy. What do we think about Gino here? Gino is, potentially in the best spot of the whole game, right? Gino has the Savage Step. He's got the, you know, whatever remains of the Honey Bunch. He's got the Retreat. He's got the Marty Crew. He's got his, very close, alliance with Kyle. He has a budding showmance with Jace, who is super close with Steph. Who is the showmance he denied? It's just sort of like keep that, you know, under wraps. Now, that could cause some tension. I think there was a little bit of it today. But for right now, it's kind of keeping everything under wraps. He's just, nobody's talking about targeting him. Nobody's even really talking about him as a big threat. A lot of people are focused on Marty and what he's doing. Some people have talked about Kyle. A lot of people talking about Moose. But for the most part here, Gino is in a really good place. Now, my main concern with Gino is like how much of this has been truly earned by Gino. How much of it is, you know, just kind of like his social game. He gets along really well with people and people gravitate to him. That's a very good skill to have, and I'll credit him for that for sure. But is he actively creating structures and making sure that he's good, or is he just kind of benefiting from his social game? Because if it's the latter, then I don't know that I have confidence that he'll be able to maintain this position as well as he should be able to, given the fact that he is in the position. So this could be one of those situations where it's like, hey, it's the first week and he's in a great spot, but how long is it going to last? So for me, Gino is, he is an easy 7. I feel like, he's in a great spot. He's playing pretty well. I just haven't seen enough to be like, ah, yes, this guy's really, really good. But I do feel like, if he continues to maintain this position, then I think that, that he will only grow from here. But I'm going to be a little conservative on the rating here at first because I don't want to go too high too fast. So, Chantel, what do you think?
Well, I'm actually completely in alignment with your thoughts here. And I really wanted to go up. I wanted to give Gino that 8. And I was like, yes, he's in the perfect position. Like everybody gives him all the information. He's able to communicate in French with Tanisha, with Marty, so he can have something completely separate on their own. And like, you know, everybody wants to work with him. Nobody seems to be targeting him really. And you know, everybody wants him to be around in the house. And so the fact that he's in such a great position, I was like, yes, like, let's maybe give him an 8. But then I was like, but everybody's just kind of giving him all these accolades. Like, I just don't know if it's his strategy and him like positioning himself really well and that he's going to be able to do really well going further week to week. So I think that he's in an excellent position in the game, probably from my perspective, the best in the house so far. I don't know if he has strategy or strategic chops, so I couldn't go any higher for him. But I'm with you, Taryn. I think that he deserves a 7. I think that he is actually going to be really good at competition. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes up from there just because he'll get some power. So I have high hopes for for Gino. I couldn't go higher than a 7 for him, but I think that it's a solid number for Gino.
Yes, well, the audience does agree with the two of us, at least. The audience also gave Gino a 7. So, Melissa, are you going to complete the 7s, or do you have an alternative take here?
I don't know, because I agree with what you guys said. I think Gino is a sociable guy who is very good looking. He's a pretty person and people want to be around him because he's a pretty person. And, but that's about it. I haven't really seen anything else from him. I haven't seen the strategy. He reminds me a lot of Damien from a few seasons ago, where it was like, he's in a good spot. He's a good looking guy. The people like him. And all the audience was like, no, he's really strategic. He's really good. And then he did literally nothing and then got voted out. So like, that's what I'm seeing here is like, he's positioned well, not from his own doing, but because people want to be around him and they wanted to include him in their groups and blah, blah, blah. But I don't see him doing anything. So I just feel like I hope that he actually plays, and I hope that he cares about the game, and I hope that, you know, he can do great things moving forward. But I just feel like at this point, I haven't seen anything from him, and I don't think he has done anything to besides be a nice, good-looking guy to position himself in this way. I don't think he's thinking of it as like, I'm positioning myself in such a good way. I think he's literally just like hanging out and people are like, hey, do you want to be in our alliance? Like, I'm not seeing it from him yet. I really hope that I do, but at this point I'm not, so I'm giving him a 6.
A 6 from Melissa.
Do you know one also, thing like, that he... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say one other thing is that like he has all these girls fighting over him and yet he's not using that to his advantage. I feel like he's like, yeah, I'm just like not really going to flirt with Steph and I'm going to like only, I like JC Lynn, but I'm not going to do that much with that. And then like Summer's flirting with me. It's like, you should be using that. Like number one, at this point, you shouldn't get into a showmance because that'll piss off the other people. So just kind of flirt with everyone and just be like, look, I don't know. I'm not going to like, you know, enter into a showmance in the house. That's not really my thing. Even if it is your thing, just say it's not your thing. And then just flirt with everybody. And that will help you strategically. But like, if you,
I think that's a dangerous game to play.
People get so mad.
I think it's worse if you pick someone and say like, and like become a showmance with them, then the other people are going to be upset. Like at this point, I just think that light flirting, not like, like full on, like, oh, you and I are a showmance. Oh, you and I are also a showmance. Oh, you and I are just like being like, look, I'm not going to do the showmance thing. And then just flirt a little bit. That's fine. And I think that's what he should be doing at this point. I mean, he has too many people who are interested in him. It's insanity.
Well, the one thing that I thought was strategic that he was doing when he made the decision to not really defend JC Lynn from going up on the block. And I think that that was actually a good thing that he wasn't already, you know, use all of his social capital that he has to save his not even official girl from going up on the block yet. So I think that that was the one strategic thing that I saw that he was doing. And I think that that's saying that right now he doesn't want to have a showmans interfere with his game. And so I think that that's the way that he's going for right now. But if one of the wins head of household, like I'm sure they're going to be cuddling, canoodling up in the head of household room. So that will probably be solidified then. But until now, I think that he wants to play the game as a get into a relationship.
We have next on the list here, Helena. Helena is up next. Helena is definitely an interesting one to look at. Chantal, how do you feel about Helena?
Well, I wasn't feeling that great about her in the first couple episodes because I just didn't really see what was going on or what her strategy or what she was doing. And then when she kind of outed the Man's Down Alliance to Kevin, I was like, wait, is it, like, I don't know if that's great for her game. But seeing her converse with Kevin, it actually seems that she has more of a strategic mind for the game than I was giving her credit for, and that she's doing things a little bit more intentionally than I was expecting. So she's actually surprised me with that the things that she's been doing has been a little bit more intentional. And I'm interested to see if she can build something with Kevin, because I do think Kevin is very strategic. And if they're working together, I think that they could do some damage. I believe that they have some sort of final two, or they're choosing to work together for a little while. So I think that's actually really good for her game. And she's good with everybody. Everybody seems to want to pull her in the alliance. Like, let's have Helena come in. And so the fact that she's not in anything solid, not the greatest, but the fact that people are looking at her to bring her in because they trust her or they want to work with her, I think that's a really good sign for her social game. And potentially, if she has this strategy talks and sessions going on with Kevin, I think that she might be able to have some influence on the house in the game later on. So I'm still fluctuating with what I want to give her, because I don't think that she's doing that amazing. I think I'm going to have to stick with middle of the road with Helena and give her a 5.
A 5. Well, the audience disagrees. The audience says 6. That Helena should have a 6.
I was debating.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I am debating between a 5 and a 6, if I'm being honest. I think the struggle is like, Do I rate her game the same as I rate Gino's game? And I guess like Gino's got the structure going for him. He's got like the alliance to back him up. He has, you know, these actual formulated groups that are working, like that are actually set and working with him. But he's not really doing anything as part of that. Whereas I feel like Helena is putting in a ton of work, building strong, like individual relationships with everyone, and yet not necessarily having that big structural alliance to back it all up. But it's hard to say, you know, what's more important, whether it's more important to have, you know, actual strong ties with people on an individual basis, versus, you know, not really have the strategy yourself, like not really actually be super strategic yourself, but have like the people to back it up. I don't know. And I think that I do think it's two different strategies, two different methods. So I think like, I think I'm going to give Helena a 6. And I think like I think in order to explain that, it's like they're very different strategies the two of them have, but I think that they both can equally be good moving forward. So, you know, while Gino's got the alliance thing going for him, I do think Helena has, I see the strategy in her more. And so I am hoping that that does end up translating to being in an alliance, but at this point it's not, but I think she has the ability to do that. And I think she knows what she has to do. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I feel like I like Helena. I think she is a more intentional player than Gino. I feel like she has some good instincts, but the game that she's playing is this individual connection game. It's not a super effective one. It's effective if you are also covered by a group, but she is not covered by a group right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think that given how the house is structured at this point, it is a game that can work, especially because there are a few people who are doing the same thing. If she can really lock in with Kevin and Jess and have that be a kind of group, that can be very effective. But as of right now, that hasn't really happened yet. In addition to that, if she gets pulled into an alliance, if she gets in with a group, that would be great for her as well. But it hasn't happened yet. In addition to that, these individual relationships and connections that she has, they are only as valuable insofar as they, you know, A, protect her, and B, allow her to influence the game in a direction that is beneficial to her. And I think we've seen a bit of A, but not much of B. I haven't seen her being able to use these connections to influence the game in any meaningful way at this point. So, because of that, I do think she has potential, but I can't yet go to where I think the potential lies because I haven't seen the things that I think are necessary for her game to flourish yet. So I am also going to go with a 6. I feel like she's in a good spot for now. And I think that she certainly could do well. But until then, it's going to be a 6. So let's move on to Herman. Let's talk about Hermann. How does the audience feel about Hermann? The audience gave Helena a 6. Well, they also gave Hermann a 6. Hermann also gets a 6 from the audience. Melissa, how do you feel about that?
Can I not go next? I want to hear what you guys have to say about him first, to be honest, because I'm teeter tottering, and I don't want to sit
teeter tottering. All right, Chantel, how do you feel about Hermann?
I mean, I thought that I was not going to enjoy Hermann's game, and I feel that he's pleasantly surprised me. He seemed to be having a lot of conversations with Jess, which I was not expecting, considering they were his target the first week. And so I do feel as though Hermann is playing a better game than I was expecting him to play. You know, the fact that he's being pulled into the boys' alliance, that, you know, Moose is on the outs and he's on the ins. I think that that's really good that people are trusting him. People want to work with him, and it shows that he could already win a competition. So I think that he's actually playing a pretty good game. I don't think he's as well situated as Gino, but I think that he is, I think I agree with the audience. I think that a 6 would be where I would place Hermann right now. I think that he has potential to do better, but for where the house is kind of structured right now, I can't really give him much more than that because he hasn't shown me that much more. So 6, better than average, but and room for improvement.
All right, Melissa.
Okay, so I honestly have been most impressed by Hermann's game. I think he's set up really well, and I think that he's done a great job of going from being HOH to, I think his HOH reign was really successful. I feel like he didn't make enemies. He solidified himself in a decent spot in some alliances. And I don't really feel like people are looking at him to target him anytime soon. And in fact, people are trying to bring him into their alliances. I think his social game is really good. People seem to really enjoy being around him. And I really am not seeing a lot of like, oh, he's a huge threat, you know, conversations when he won the first HOH. So, I'm feeling really good about him so far. And I honestly think I'm going to give him a 7.
I'm with you on this one, Melissa. I also gave Hermann a 7. And in fact, I considered giving Hermann my highest rating of the week. And maybe he is the highest rating.
I think he is my highest rating.
Yeah. Basically, I considered an 8, but I don't want to go with the 8 for a couple of reasons. But I do think that he's playing a very, very good game. I think that, he is like socially very good. He makes people laugh. He is like the life of the party, in a lot of instances, but he doesn't stand out, which I think is why he got a 6 on the stock watch. Like, I'm not talking about him a lot on the updates. He's not showing up a ton on the feeds, but when he's there, he's effective, and he gets close in with people. He makes them feel very, very comfortable with him. Something that I talked about with Betty, like, people just, they instantly feel comfortable with Hermann. And that's a very good thing. He is included in the Retreat Alliance. He's in the Savage Seven, and he's potentially going to be pulled into this Marty group. He got through that first HOH as very little blowback, not a big threat, not a big target on Hermann. He's in a really good spot. Now, there are a couple of things that concern me about Hermann. One is that he has kind of, you know, he's taken his hands off of the wheel a little bit with Savage Seven. Like, this is his creation. This is his week one structure, and he's kind of let it disintegrate. And it's kind of going all over the place. He needs to be a little careful about that. Number two, he's very close to Moose, and Moose has his number. Like, Moose wants his head, which is very dangerous because Moose has a ton of dirt on him. And the Moose factor is a big factor. Like, this is a danger to Hermann's game. Moose considers Hermann to be the biggest threat in the game, and he spreads it all the time. So that is a concern, for Hermann moving forward, especially because he still hasn't seen it coming yet. So I can't quite go up to an 8, but I do think that Hermann has a lot of potential here. So I have given him a 7. All right, let's move on to JC Lynn, aka Jace. Melissa, how do you feel about Jace?
I don't feel terrible, although like I will say in the chat they were saying that her and Steph were getting into an argument, and I feel like I don't know much about that, and so it's hard for me to like,
I think it's a recent thing, but I don't know how serious it is.
Look, she won the veto, she took herself off the block. I think that's a good sign. She is, you know, I mean, Gino likes her, however, you know, he didn't care that she was getting put on the block, so I guess that's not a good sign. You know, I think she's doing fine, but I don't think she's got herself set up very well. And I don't really see her forming super strong relationships with people. It seems like, you know, she's kind of getting along with people decently, but I don't really see the strong bonds there that would form, you know, like a really solid alliance or anything like that. So I guess I could see it going either way. And I'm tempted to just give her a 5 just because, you know, it's right in the middle, but I'm not seeing a lot of great stuff from her so far. I'm hoping that she, you know, kicks it into gear and makes some like really strong bonds. But at this point, I think I'm just going to, I mean, the fact that she got nominated in the first place isn't a good sign. It's great that she took herself off the block, but, you know, to already be expendable at this point in the game is not great. So I'm going to give her a 4 just because of that.
Okay. I would go for a 5 on JC. I think that, you know, winning this veto was good. It proved that she can win competitions, which is very important. It also got her some respect in the game. I think that as the Retreat Alliance kind of solidifies, a lot of the people in the Retreat Alliance do have power in the game and will likely be more and more invested in making sure that Jace is safe. While that's not like the greatest long term, it is good short term. And I also think that, you know, she has a head on her shoulders. She's not lost in this game. She recognizes that she can't rely on the guys forever. And, you know, these are all things that we've seen before, and then they don't come to be. And I know that, you know, there were a lot of Beth comparisons, preseason. And this is kind of a spot that Beth was in early on. And you know, that did not turn out well, but, I don't want to sort of like, be predisposed to, judging JC based on Beth's trajectory. I feel like, you know, she doesn't have to be Beth, and so she can be her own person. And I think that, because of that, I'm not entirely down on her path here, but overall, I would say there are some pros, there are some cons. It evens out to about even here. That veto win was definitely very important. So, Chantel, what do you think?
So I like JC Lynn. I didn't like the fact that she was planning on throwing any competitions, you know, especially
yes.
when we learn that she's going to be put up on the block. And so I'm hoping that that was kind of a wake up call for her. And I love the fact that she gets put up on the block and she takes it into her own hands and she wins the veto and she takes herself off. And so I like that she was able to do that right away. And I think that it shows that she's valuable as, you know, as a person in people's alliances. I think that people will be like, oh, well, you know what? Jace is really strong in competitions. Let's keep her around because maybe she's going to win some power. Let's work with her. And so I think that this might have really helped her with people, the way people see her in the house, not just somebody that's just going to go with the power. I don't think that she expected Marty to ever win a head of household. So she didn't really put in that work with him. And so hopefully now she's seeing that, okay, I do kind of have to put in some work with more people in the house, not just the people that I have a crush on. And the fact that she's winning competition so far, I think it's a good sign for her. But the fact that she just, you know, she didn't really play well for her first week, I'm going to have to still stick her in the middle, kind of like you, Taryn, at a 5. I think that she could become a comp beast. And if she gets some power, I'm really interested to see what she's doing. But she's not yet well enough respected in the house to go any higher than a 5. So she has an upward trajectory, I think. But we're going to have to start in the middle.
All right. The audience agrees with us, Chantel. They gave JC a 5. Just a 5, but she'd get there. All right. Let's move on to Jay. Let's talk about Jay. Now, I feel like I do genuinely think that Jay has potential in this game that will likely never be realized. I think that socially they're very good. And strategically, they're just they started a little bit behind. Strategically, they thought this was a game, you know, like JC comes into the game thinking, yeah, you throw HOH in week two, like that's what you do. That's a bad thing to do. That's a misconception, but it's not going to really like destroy JC's game. I think Jay came into the game with the misconception of, yeah, it's a social game. You don't have to, it's all about the connections you make. You shouldn't over strategize. You should just focus on relationship building. That's wrong. That is going to sink your game early on. And it's what happened here with Jay. I just think their instincts are not the strategic ones that are necessary for the game. They have the social instincts, but not the strategic ones. But I think they could learn the strategic ones. I think they could have learned the strategic ones if they had gotten a little more lucky with the HOH and they had been given some more time to develop and learn. But as I said, I don't think that's going to happen. And as things stand, they have made some pretty crucial mistakes. Talking to Kyle and telling Kyle that they're going after Kyle and all of Kyle's allies was a very bad idea because Kyle and his allies control this vote. So that's not great. Now, Jay has been talking recently like, oh, yeah, I messed up. Should I go and talk to Kyle and you know, Marty and try to smooth this over and maybe stay? And it's like, yeah, you should, but they haven't yet. So it's, you know, it's kind of a rough shot there. I'm not going to go with a 1 for Jay. I think that's unwarranted personally. I think that Jay is very likely going to go home. And so, I am going to give Jay a 2. I think there are a lot of mistakes that have been made, but I don't think Jay deserves the 1. Not from me. Chantel, what do you think?
I don't know now. I mean, I really like Jay as a person. I really think that they are interesting to watch on the feeds. They would potentially have some interesting gameplay further along, but unfortunately, they got safety the first week and they didn't have to play, and everybody else had to, well, almost everybody else had to play the game and start talking about strategy with Herman. And he didn't start to do that. They were just, you know, conversing with people and building these social bonds, but didn't have to do anything strategic because of the safety. And so I really think that stunted his gameplay, and unfortunately they weren't able to catch up. So the fact that they potentially could really stay this week, they could. I think that they have 3 people that would be willing to keep them and potentially some other people, but they didn't want to throw Betty under the bus, and if they didn't know that they're going to be staying for sure. And because of the fact that they're not saving themselves, I really can't give them a 2. I want them to, but they're not going to do it. And so I do have to give them a 1. I'm sorry, Jay. I like you so much.
Well, the audience is with me on this. Probably one. They do. Gave Jay a 2. Yes. Melissa, where do you stand?
Yeah, I got to give Jay a 2 as well. I think that there's still a chance that they stay this week. But it does seem fairly unlikely at this point. I think that, you know, with the whole misstep of telling Kyle that they were targeting him and all of his allies, I think they could have smoothed that over. I think they could have, you know, if they had gone to Kyle like right away or, you know, not let it get so bad, you know, or even if they were having that conversation in the HOH to try it and smooth things over, apparently, they really could have handled that conversation in a better way. Like, I feel like it's one thing to have the initial conversation where you're like, are you working with them? Are you in an alliance? You know, that sort of thing. that's one thing. Cause like, you know, maybe you are curious and you want them to admit it, or you're just trying to get information out of them or something like that. But then to have a whole argument about it, and then to go to the whole house and have the whole house, you know, telling the whole house things about Kyle and things like that. It kind of gets you in a worse and worse position. It digs you deeper into a hole. And I think that if they had just come around right away and just been like, look, like, I wasn't trying to get into an argument with you. I was just trying to see if you were working with these people or whatever, and just say, look, it was game. Like, I messed up, or whatever you want to say, or at least just try to smooth things over. Maybe something could have happened. Maybe Jay could have found a way to work with Kyle and Marty moving forward, you know, pull one of those dumb things that's like, no one would see it coming if we worked together, you know, that sort of thing, just something. But I feel like at this point, it's too late. You know, I guess it's not too late because there still could be something that happens, but it just feels like if I was Kyle at this point, I wouldn't trust Jay. I wouldn't want to work with Jay. It's been too long since the initial argument. So, I just feel like there's always a chance. They're not dead in the water. But at this point, it seems unlikely that they will stay. So it's a two for me.
Two from Melissa, two from the audience.
Simon Cowell today? Oh my goodness.
Chantel is the Simon Cowell of the podcast.
Wow. Who would have guessed?
Watch out, Todrick Hall.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Let's move on to Jess, and we'll start with Simon Cowell. How do you feel about Jess, Chantel?
Well, Jess, I think it was amazing that they were able to take themselves off the block and, you know, solidify their spot in the game. The fact that they weren't nominated week two with Marty as head of household, I think that was really awesome. And it really seems as though they're making real efforts to get along with people. Jess does seem to have a bit of a personality that might rub some people the wrong way, but I do feel that they are really making an effort to start getting along with people. And so I really appreciate that with their game. So I saw that they were talking to Josh, and they were saying, that, you know, I really want to hang out with you, but I don't want people to know anything about like our relationship. So I thought that was really good, solidifying their kind of relationship. And they also were doing that with, I believe it was Kyle as well. And so I found it was really good that they were really making these like, okay, it's me and you. If we don't talk, it's good still, but we're working together. So I thought that they were making some really good inroads with some connections in the house. So I think that they're still in a bad position, though, and that a lot of people might just still put them up if they don't have a second option. And so for that reason, I'm going to give Jess a 4.
Okay. Well, the audience does agree with you on this one.
Finally.
The audience also went with a 4 for Jess. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to give Jess a 3. I feel like they're not in a great spot. I think like, yes, they are building back up their, you know, social capital and their relationships and all that. But, and I think that, you know, it's been helpful that people, I think, are understanding more of Jess's personality and the way that they come across and the way that they say things is just very blunt, and it's not intended to be rude, but that's just the way that they communicate. I feel like I absolutely would have been like, okay, this person's being really condescending and rude to me if they had spoken to me like that, until I would understand like, oh, that's just the way that they talk. I think that that is something that at least the house guests have started to understand at this point. However, I do think that, you know, when trying to talk strategy with Jess, and Jess keeps kind of like interjecting and, you know, basically like telling you what you should be saying or what you're thinking or what you were just about to say, it's just a little much. And I could see that rubbing people the wrong way moving forward, and, you know, people kind of throwing up their hands and being like, I can't strategize with this person. I can't work with this person. I don't know. I just know that like I am worried for them in that regard. But I think that the fact that they want a veto, the fact that they, you know, are starting to build these relationships, that's good. Maybe they're kind of going to fade into the background a bit. But at the same time, at this point in time, they're kind of an easy target because, you know, this person doesn't have a lot of connections with people. This person was already on the block and was already target week one. So like, whatever, let's just put them up again. No blood on our hands. Let's just get it over with. Like, I could see that being a situation. If someone's in the position of HOH and they feel like they don't know what move to make, or they feel like they're torn between different alliances and they can't make a move, I could absolutely see that being just like an easy thing to do. And I feel similarly with like Kevin, in that sort of way. And that now with Betty as well, I think that like once you're on the block once, it's an easy thing to be like, okay, let's just get them out. So I am worried about Jess, and that's why I'm giving them a 3.
Yeah. I think an example of Jess and how like they are making inroads on one hand, but then on the other hand, they are still, you know, sometimes creating difficulties for themselves, is that, you know, they were talking to Kyle, I think, today, and Kyle was like, oh yeah, don't worry about Gino. Like, I've been, you know, because I'm comfortable with you, Gino is comfortable with you. And Jess was like, what? Why would you do that? You shouldn't be telling Gino that you're comfortable with me. Like, we should be keeping this on the down low. And it's like, no. Like, this is good. You want this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kyle's doing you a favor, and you're sort of like telling him that he did a bad thing. And so,
yeah. And it's like, okay, it's, well, like, why did I even try?
Yeah. It's like, so that's not great. However, I do think that, that they have done a decent job this week of sort of getting back into the swing of things in this house. And there aren't a lot of people that are actively going to be targeting Jess. They're in this position where people do see them as a threat, as somebody that is decently respectable in the game, but not somebody that they feel is worth targeting. And in a house that's as fluid as this one, that could be advantageous. Now, Jess, I think, is the person of the three that are playing this game, this individual connection game, Jess, Helena, and Kevin. I think Jess is playing the worst of the three of them. And I think that they are performing the poorest of the three of them. But I still think that it can end up paying off depending on where this house goes. The problem is that Jess won't have a lot of agency until the numbers really start to dwindle. But for now, I feel like I do want to reward what Jess was able to pull off this week, which is, you know, staying safe and really getting themselves off the radar. So I went with a 4 as well for Jess. Let's move on to Josh. Let's talk about Josh. The audience gave Josh a 5. 5 from the audience. Melissa, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I tend to agree with that. I think the biggest complaint about Josh so far is that he's not talking game with people, but I do feel like it's so early still. And I think a lot of the times we say, you know, the first few weeks, you know, you don't put yourself so far out there. It's okay to kind of hang back and play a social game and blah, blah, blah. And then we're sitting here like critiquing him because he's not talking enough game, just because the rest of the house is like talking too much game. And I get it. And I feel like, yeah, it really is. It's dependent on the house, obviously. Like if the house is all speaking a lot of game and you're not, you're the one outlier. Like, yeah, obviously that's not a great thing. But at this point, he's set himself up pretty well in some decent alliances. And I think he could start talking game. But at this point, he hasn't really shown anything so far. So I am cautiously optimistic, I guess. But at this point, I haven't really seen a lot. So I just feel like I need to go right in the middle and give him a 5.
I'm going to be a little harder on Josh here. I feel like every time I see people talk about Josh, they're saying that they feel sketched out because he doesn't talk to them. And he doesn't. I mean, I've seen him talk to Jay. I saw him talk very briefly to Kevin, like once. And like that, like he doesn't really talk to people. And that's a huge issue. I keep saying this on the updates, but like, I do think that Josh has potential. I think that Josh could get into the swing of things, but Josh is not only, you know, like rapidly falling out of a structure that he, you know, should be in, but, he's also becoming a target pretty quickly. People have attached him to Jay and he is attached to Jay, but, there's no reason for people to know that. And you know, like maybe when Jay leaves, he'll go and talk more game with other people, but it's not like he's spending all his time with Jay and only talking game with Jay. And that like once Jay is gone, it'll free him up. That's not really the case. Like Jay's doing their own thing. Like Josh has plenty of time to go and talk with other people. It's just not happening. And until it does, like I have a hard time seeing where Josh goes with anything. Like even if Josh were to get power, like I don't know if he'd know what to do with it and who to pull in. Like I just don't know like what he's here for yet. So so for me, I had to go with a 4 for Josh. I just don't know where he's gonna go. What do you think, Chantal?
I mean, I totally understand the 4, but I think it's because like I really like him. Like I really want to see him do well. I think that he's in right now a decent position, and it really it upsets me the fact that he's not able to actually have these game conversations that people want to be having with him. Like they want him to make them feel secure and that they're in this alliance and like all hands in. Like they want to feel that from him, and he's not really giving that. So I'm just wondering what he's doing. Like what is this, like other than hiding well and hide and go seek, like what is he really doing in the house? I don't see that much from him. But I think that because he's so likable, that he has a lot of potential if like maybe if he does get power, that he will be able to learn how to play the game a little bit better, that he will be able to kind of bring some people in because he already has those connections. He just needs to solidify now and start talking some game with them. So I think for that, I'm going to give him middle of the road with a 5 because I don't think that he's in a bad spot and I want to see a lot more from him. So for I'm hopefully optimistic for his potential. And for that, he gets a 5.
All right. Well, let's move on to Kevin. Let's talk about Kevin. Melissa, how do you feel about Kevin?
You know, I'm feeling a lot better about Kevin than I did previously. I mean, obviously preseason, I was very concerned for Kevin, but I do think that, you know, I am enjoying him a lot. And I think he is making some decent relationships. I really like him and Helena together. I think that's a really interesting dynamic. And then it does seem like he's forming a relationship with Jess and Marty. And the fact that he was able to stay off the block, even though he was the initial pawn, is very good. I'm feeling pretty good about him. I think the one thing that really concerns me is this whole, you know, oh, I have no idea what's playing, like how to play or what I'm doing or what everyone else is doing. And, you know, I really didn't think people were going to turn on each other. And I really didn't, you know, this like kind of pathetic thing. I think that, you know, if he can maintain that the entire game, great. But I don't see him being able to maintain that facade the entire game. I just think that like, the second people find out that he wasn't this like helpless person that they were comforting, or like, wasn't this like sad, like you know, guy who really has no self-esteem or whatever. It's just like, if he gets found out, I mean, he's dead, you know, like that. You're not going to take that well. Like, I would feel completely played if I was sitting there comforting this poor guy thinking like, oh my God, he just feels bad about himself. And, you know, I just need to make him feel better. And I just feel so sorry for him. And it turns out he's just been making me look like a fool the whole time. Like, I'd be so mad. So if he gets found out, I think he's in a lot of trouble. If on the other hand, he can kind of play it as if like, oh, I'm learning the game as I go. And, you know, now I'm becoming more of a strategic player. Like, and that's why I'm different now. Like, okay, maybe that. But, you know, I just don't really know what's going to happen with him. But I am liking where he's going with this. I think, though, the fact that people are still, I think it's same with Jess, where it's that easy, put him on the block. He's already been on the block. He was a target at one point. Let's just like, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It seems like they're fine with putting him on the block. He's expendable. And, you know, even in this one instance, he was able to convince Marty to put Betty on the block. But like, is he going to be able to convince, you know, whoever's HOH to put someone else on the block every single time? I don't know. So the fact that he's not really in any alliances aside from this, like, you know, connection of just one-on-one connection. I think like he's in a similar spot to Helena, except different because he could be considered a perpetual pawn. He's already been on the block. They wanted to put him on the block again. So for me, I don't see him as being as high up as Helena is in my ratings. And the fact that he's not really in any sort of alliance, whereas Helena is included in a couple at least, makes me wary. So I'm going to give Kevin a 4 for now.
4 for Kevin. I'm a little bit higher. I agree with a lot of what you said, but I think I'd go with a 5 overall. Mm-hmm. I do want to give him some credit for talking to Marty and getting him sort of off of nominating Kevin, good. which I think Jess did as well. But I think that that Kevin actually did a better job overall. It was a harder play as it got closer to the wire. And I think Marty feels better about Kevin than he does about Jess at this point. And I think that that Kevin has closer and more valuable relationships than Jess does. So above Jess, but obviously below Helena. So of the three sort of like individual game wildcard players, you know, Jess there at a 4, Kevin at a 5 in the middle, and then Helena at a 6 makes a lot of sense to me. So. That's where I stand. Chantel, what do you think?
So I'm actually, you know, before the season, I was like, oh man, the only Aquarius is Kevin and this is how he's planning on playing. I was like, man, like I was high hopes because we never get an Aquarius in the house. And so I was really excited to see like what he had to offer. And then the fact that he wanted to go in and this evil mastermind, all this stuff, like I was like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. But I do think that the game that he's playing is a lot better than I thought that he was going to do. And so I'm actually always interested to see what Kevin is going to do. He's been in a little bit of a danger, absolutely, but he's been able to get himself out of danger, which gives me high hopes that he's going to be able to do that in the future. And that if he ever gets any power, that he's going to make some real moves. So for the potential of his game, and the potential of Aquariuses in the house, I'm going to give Kevin a 5. I think it's a lower 5 than the 5 that I gave Helena, but I think it definitely is. I agree with both of you that it's higher than what we would give Jess. I think that Kevin, he is capable of doing a lot of damage in the house. And I hope that he just takes to heart with people saying to him like, hey, like, you know, we don't like you putting yourself down all the time. So hopefully he'll take that into consideration, shift his strategy just a little bit. And then I really want to see him go wild. So I'm excited for his game, but he still gets a 5 from me.
All right. Well, the audience agrees. They also gave Kevin a 5. So let's move on and talk about Kyle, the real Kyle Moore. What an interesting ride it's been for Kyle so far. I feel like, you know, Kyle came in with a lot of goodwill. I feel like that goodwill has been burning off a bit. Kyle's gotten a little cocky.
I think, in that house.
And he has not handled, you know, pressure situations very well. So, you know, those are the major flaws out of the gate. However, I do think that Kyle is in a very good spot, and I think he's playing very well for the most part. There are a few things I think to mention when talking about Kyle. First of all, he is in the center of the game. You know, Savage 7, the Retreat, the Marty Crew. He's very tightly locked in with Gino, which is very, very good for him. He's got a relationship with Helena, one with Kevin, one with Jess. So all of the wild card connections, and he is where Gino is kind of like, did he do this intentionally? Kyle is, yes, he did. And in many ways, probably part of why, Gino is in the spot that he's in, because he is Kyle's partner and he is with Kyle while Kyle is doing these things. I like a lot of Kyle's ideas strategically. There are a lot of reasons to be high on Kyle's game. In addition to all of that, the recent information that we suspected, but is now confirmed, that he did know Moose outside of the house prior to entering the game, and that connection may keep Moose from going wild card on Kyle, is pretty big, because if Kyle is the one person Moose will not, turn on, then that's a benefit that somebody like Herman, who is also playing very well, unfortunately does not have. I really like where Kyle is. I think he's a very capable player with some big flaws, potential flaws to his game. He is one of the younger people on the cast, and I think that is showing at times. That again, how he handled the situation with Jay was not great. He has rebounded from it pretty well. Nobody seems to fault him. In some ways, it's lowered his threat level because he was involved in drama. But it doesn't spell great things for the future if he's going to crumble anytime he gets into a confrontation like that. So, and then in addition to that, a little bit high on his own supply at times, could definitely end up costing him. But, many of the very good players that we've seen in the past have all been, very high on their own supply at various points. So it's not necessarily a terrible thing game wise, but, for all of those reasons, I am also going to go with a 7 for Kyle. I feel like he's playing well. He's in a very good spot, but I do see some reasons to be concerned moving forward. Chantel, what do you think?
Well, you're making me feel like I'm Simon Cowell again. I definitely feel as though he is up there, obviously, with Gino. They really are making all the decisions this week. They have the most amount of people that are working with them. Absolutely. But I really was put off by how he was speaking to Jay. Just the tone and the demeanor and the, you know, I'll make sure that you're going to go out of this game. I just didn't really like how he was kind of knocking Jay while they were down. And so it just didn't bode well for future confrontations with other people that might, you know, say something similar to him or have a problem with him about something that he's doing in the game. I don't think that he handles that well enough for me to be positive about his longevity. I can see him, you know, being high on his own supply, saying the wrong to the wrong person, that person gets power and sends him out the door. So I don't think that he has the finesse that Gino has and the finesse that Herman has as well. And so I feel that a 7, yeah, I could see it, but I can only personally give him a 6.
Well, the audience agrees with you on this one. They also gave Kyle a 6. So Melissa, where do you stand?
Are you with the people?
Obviously. No, but I really am. I am giving it Kyle a 6. I think that, yeah, if this had been pre-confrontation, I would have given him like an 8. I would have been like so high on him. He was doing great. I mean, he's got himself in a decent position. I think that the one thing that's, you know, kind of, bringing down his rating for me was that confrontation. And I think that, you know, I don't necessarily fault him for, you know, getting into that confrontation with Jay. I think, you know, it's hard not to if someone's like coming at you and saying like, oh yeah, well, like basically confronting you about something, I guess, that like is true, that you're in an alliance with these people, and then you have to deny it. And like, you know, obviously there's tension there and you have to like vehemently deny it or else people will think like, you know, oh, so you are in an alliance. So overall, not great. Especially because, you know, he didn't need to get into it with Jay. Jay is already on the block. Jay is already, you know, at this point, like gonna go home in their mind. So it's like, okay, he confronts you about this alliance thing. Just be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not an alliance. You've made that up. Or like, I don't know where you heard that from. It's not true. And then just leave it at that. Like, don't sit there and get into a whole confrontation. Don't then try and, you know, when you're trying to calm things down, then get into another confrontation and then go and share the story around to everybody. It's like, it just gets worse and worse. It's like the more you talk about it, the more it gets ingrained in people's minds. Like, just let it go. And I think Kyle also noticed that, because when he went into the phone room with Kevin and was just like, oh my God, why did I do this? Why did I let this get to me? He at least recognizes that that was a bad move and he got caught up in the heat in the moment. Now the question is, moving forward, if there's another moment like this, does he get swept up in it and you know, do the same thing again? Or does he learn from the first time and kind of recognize like, okay, stay out of this confrontation. Let's not get into it. And the hope is that he does learn from it. I think he's still in a decent spot. I don't think that, you know, that confrontation really killed him. But I just think it was unnecessary, and it shows that he doesn't really have his emotions necessarily in check like you need to have in the game. Now, that's not to say that I wouldn't, you know, do the same thing if I got confronted about something and I might get into a fight. Yeah, obviously. But, you know, from an outside perspective, in terms of the stopwatch, like, I think that that's definitely not great for his game. And I think that the fact that he's front and center of all these giant alliance groups, like, that's also not good for him. It puts a huge target on his back. And I think he's kind of basking in it instead of being like, okay, like I need to kind of tone myself down and let other people go out there in front. I think he's like, yeah, I've got this game on lock, which like we all know is like not the, like that's like the classic thing to say before a downfall. So I'm worried about him moving forward. Let's see what happens. But at this point, yeah, it's a six.
All right. Let's move on to our HOH, Marty. Chantel, how do you feel about Marty?
Marty. I don't feel great about Marty. You know, very excited to have the oldest house guest this season anyways to win the head of household. That was a little bit unexpected. I was really excited to see how his head of household reign was going to be. And then I didn't enjoy it. I was like, oh, you know, a lot of promising people, a lot of different things and going back on his word. I really don't enjoy, you know, the doing this for you, Canada. You know, we want to make good TV and kind of always being really aware of what moves that they're doing and how it's going to be perceived by people on the show. And I get it. You are on a television show. So I know that it's something that's going on in your head, but the fact that he kind of, you know, announces it all the time, it's a little bit like, well, what's your real game here? If you're just always making these moves for what it's, how it's going to be perceived, like, are you trying to win? Or are you just trying to make good TV or do things for the audience? And so
it reminds me of when, sorry to interrupt you, but like just what you said. No, but it reminds me of when Nicole on Big Brother All-Stars was like, let me do another take for the camera where I say that like, maybe it's a good idea to keep this person. And then she just like turns to the person again and is like, you know, it might be a good idea if we keep them around. And it's like, so it's all fake. Like, it's like, that's not what I want. I want like you to actually be playing that way. And if it makes good TV, great. It makes good TV, but like, don't be constantly like pandering to us. I hate it.
Absolutely. And when he thinks is good TV, I'm like, this isn't good TV. Like, it is what I want, but not his idea of good TV so far. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the fact that he congratulates the people that he nominates and says, like, it's great that you won. I gave you the opportunity to win the power of veto, et cetera, et cetera. But then kind of saying that, you know, we did that, like I did that so you had the opportunity to make some good TV. You know, we want to see the push and pull, and then giving permission to people to come after him the next week by saying like, oh, well, I understand, like I put you up and you came off the block, now that like next week, I understand if like you want to put me up. And I'm like, no, don't ever give that up. Like, I feel as though him trying to appease the audience and play some sort of honest and open game, I think it's just making him play a really terrible one. And so he's capable of winning power, so I'm not going to give him one. He's ingratiated in a couple of alliances, and people are still working with him. So especially the two top dogs, two of the top dogs, Gino and Kyle. So I'm not going to give him a two, which means that I think I have to land with a three for Marty, because I think that he would do the same thing again. I do not think that he's going to learn from this head of household reign on how to really use it to his benefit. I don't like that he didn't tell Betty that she was going up on the block and having all this blowback and be like, well, I understand now if Betty wants to come for me. It's like, why is he just making a head of household reign so that everybody is free to come for him the next week? I think it's completely the opposite of having power and what you really want to be doing in the game. So he's capable a little bit, but I don't know if he's great with the power. So yeah, three.
All right. Well, truly, Simon Cowling up here. The audience has given Marty a five.
Five. That's way Marty. Too high for Marty. Oh my gosh. In my opinion.
Melissa, what do you think?
I think I need to give. I think it's there's good things and bad things that have happened for Marty this week. I think, like, you know, he won HOH. He's got, you know, these various alliances that he's working with. That's good. He's building relationships with people. That's also good. But I think, you know, he spills way too much information. He's trying to play an open game, but it's like, you can be honest in your game without telling everyone everything. You can hold some information close to the chest. And I think that that's been a problem for him. And he's really just revealing too much. He talked about how he wanted to target Stephanie. It's like, well, if you're not going to target her, don't say anything about it. You know, all he had to say was, you know, I made a deal with her. I'm not going to target her. Boom, done. But instead, he just kept saying like, oh, yeah, I wish I could target her. I wish I could. It's like, that's not good. And then, you know, obviously, not telling Betty is just such a dumb move. I think that this would have been a perfect situation to, you know, talk to somebody, get them to agree to be a pawn. Maybe if you could, they get some money, you don't get any blood on your hands. That's great. You convince them that Jay is the target and that's that. But at this point now, he's got people who don't trust him or feel, you know, animosity towards him because of this blind side, which is not good. And I don't think that's just limited to Betty. I think that other people who weren't told about this are going to feel a certain way that, you know, he wasn't being open and honest with them as much as he's saying he would play an open and honest game. I think that that's concerning. I think, you know, it all depends, you know, who gets HOH moving forward and if he can kind of find a foothold in this, or if, you know, next week, one of these people who he said like, yeah, you know, I know you might target me the next week because of this, maybe they win and then he gets targeted. I really don't know where it's going to go. So I really do feel like there was like ups and downs for Marty this week. I think, oh gosh, this is hard. I'm debating between a four and a five, if I'm being honest. God, that music is so creepy. I was like, where did this come from? that is terrifying. I think I'm going to give him a five just because I think the pros and cons kind of outweigh each other at this point, and now he's square in the middle, and then we'll see where it goes next week.
All right. Melissa agreeing with the audience. Chantel.
Pandering.
Oh, boy. All right. So where do I fall on this? I did consider a five. I'm thinking a lot about, you know, Marty's HOH reign. I'm thinking about it in comparison to Austin's last year. I believe I gave Austin a 4 for her HOH reign. I was not high on it. But I do think that there are things that Marty did a lot better than Austin in his HOH reign. I think there are also some things he did worse. I think that, you know, first of all, he wasn't really a part of the power structure and he was on the outskirts of it. He's not doing anything to really disrupt the power structure. So that's not great as an HOH early on. He wasn't really getting much information from people when he talked to them. He was just giving them a speech. And he was telling people way too much in his speech. He is making a lot of enemies, naming targets that he's not going after right now. And all of that is bad. However, he eventually got to at least building some things. And that's very important. His relationship with Kyle and his relationship with Gino, very important. His relationship with Helena is developing. His relationship with Kevin is developing. He's actively trying to build out his alliance structure. This is all good for Marty, and something that is very important and something that could lead to long-term, rewards for him in the game. The problem is that a lot of these mistakes could mean that his game is cut short before those rewards ever come in. He is a very expendable part of even the structure that he's building, because it's not really him building it. It's more Kyle and Gino that are building it. And so he's still not at the forefront of it. He's not at the top of this structure. Marty's best case scenario is that this structure, this loose structure that has come together under his HOH reign, is the one that is solidified. Maybe Kyle or Gino or Herman, if they bring him in, wins the next HOH and they solidify this group of four and they move forward together. And then he's in the end with like Herman, Kyle and Gino. And is he going to win? Probably not. Like, it's still a tough road there. And worst case scenario, he gets picked off. Like, Betty or Jace or a number of people could win this next HOH and straight up target him for putting them on the block, or target Kyle or Gino or any of the guys and put him on the block next to them, or use going after him as a way to weaken the rest of the guys without exposing themselves. And the guys probably won't go too far out of the way to protect him, because he is expendable. That's his purpose. And so for all of those reasons, I have to ultimately go with a 4 for Marty. I think that ultimately this has not been a super successful HOH reign. I feel like if he had not won this HOH, he might be in a similar enough spot. I feel like in some ways, maybe even a better spot than he was before he won the HOH. And that's not good, because an early HOH can be huge. And I do think that if he gets some time to rest from being HOH, then he may recover and his game not being an HOH could be a lot better. I think that there is some potential there, but I do still think his long-term potential is pretty low overall. So it's going to be a 4 from me. All right. Let's move on and talk about Moose. Let's talk about Moose. All right. Where are we going to start with Moose? Let's start with the audience for Moose. The audience gave Mayhem Moose a 4 out of 10. Melissa, you are nodding your head.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think that he was originally in a really good spot, but then he's made everyone kind of not trust him and think that, you know, he's kind of a wild card, which I think he is. And so I really don't know what his plan is or what his strategy is for all this, but the fact that they already want to replace him in an alliance with Herman is not good for him. So I really don't know what's going to happen with him. And I also don't think he knows what's going to happen. Like, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I don't think he really understands what repercussions things that he is talking about or saying or doing or whatever will have on his game. I got to give him a 4 as well.
Yeah. It's hard to really analyze Moose's game at this point, because it is all over the place, but it's not great. It's kind of the inverse of Jay, where Jay is just so, or sorry, not Jay, of Josh, where Josh is just so passive and not doing anything, but it, you know, has good social skills, probably, if he ever uses them. And Moose is like, he's got social skills as well, but he's all over the place. He's using it too much. But at the same time, like actively doing some things is putting him in a better position at times. And then at other times, putting him in a bad position. The fact that he's already talking about targeting Hermann, it's amazing to me that this hasn't gotten back to Hermann yet, but who knows? Kyle is already thinking about using him as a distraction, a shield, that he can use to, you know, pin the women against Moose. And, you know, he is a target for, some people in the game. And I could see a lot of people targeting Moose in the same way that I could see a lot of people targeting Josh. People have talked about them equally. And so for me, Moose is also a four, you know, in the same way that Josh is, in the same way that a lot of other people are at this point. I think that Moose still, you know, I think like some of these other players, there's a path forward for Moose. I said that, a few days ago that like he's almost at that point where he could be the Godfrey of the season, where like he's so over the top that people no longer take him seriously, but he is still strategic. And that he can like have that kind of like, sly kind of fox kind of game, going on, but he's not there yet. And I'm not sure that he has the savvy that, that Godfrey, did. And, you know, at this point in the game, nobody thought that Godfrey did either, but, you know, it really doesn't look like it for Moose, but we'll see. We'll see. I do like Moose a lot. I feel like Moose, brings a great energy to the game. And I think if he sticks around, we're in for a good season, but, you know, for now it's not looking too great. Chantal, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't see Moose as the winner. I feel as though he's on the show as like as a recruit. I believe that he said to somebody that he auditioned for another show and then he ended up on this one and it happens to be his sister's favorite show. Yeah. And so he's only seen like an episode, a season or two, or like he's not.
I don't think he's seen that much.
So the fact that he doesn't really know how the game is played and maybe just see some key clips, I think that he's just trying to make good TV and just trying to do things that are messy and don't really make that much sense. And I think that he's not going to learn until like he goes on the block and ends up going home that that's really not how you play the game. So I don't know if he's going to be able to figure out how that, like, he's in a decent position if he doesn't keep on messing things up, and figure out how to kind of keep his standing. I'm agreeing with everybody here with a four, because I do think that he has potential. I don't think that he has Godfrey type potential, because I don't think that he really knows what is going on as much as Godfrey did. But I think that if he sticks around, maybe if he chills out a little bit, does a little bit more listening, a little bit more, you know, game talks with people and kind of learn how the game is played, he might be able to go far. But I'm not sure if he could win. So I'm going to give him a four just for, he has potential. I don't have high hopes, but he might be able to just chill and fade into the background. But he's not a fade into the background type person, so just strike that.
All right, well, let's move on to Stephanie. Just three players left here. So many players. Let's talk about Stephanie. Melissa, how do you feel about Stephanie? You're muted.
I feel about the same with Stephanie as I do with JC Lynn, to be honest. I feel like I don't quite know where she stands in the house. And I don't really know what her plan is moving forward. So yeah, I feel about the same. So I think because she's not fully in the power structure, I think I'm just going to give her a four.
Yeah. It was straight fours for Moose, and there's a lot of fours going on here. I'm also going to give Stephanie a four. I feel a little bit worse about Stephanie than I do about Jace. I feel like Stephanie's position in the game is a little bit worse. Her social game is not quite as good as Jace's, and her relationships aren't as solid. She's not as well protected. That is an issue for Stephanie. She really should have been the target this week, but luckily she was able to hang in there in the competition. A lot of people, though, were pushing for Steph because nobody really has Steph's back apart from Jace, and that's not super, super great. That said, I don't think she's too far behind Jace, and I could easily have given her a five, I think. I don't think she's in a terrible position in this retreat alliance, but I do think that, like Marty and many other people, she's very expendable. to a lot of people, and that is going to be an issue here. So four for me as well. Chantel, are you with us?
No, I'm with you guys. I'm not even going to be exciting here and give her like a one or something. No, I also think that she deserves a four here. I think that JC is in a better position than she is, not by much, but the fact that she got the guy, and the guy that she got is in, you know, the top, one of the top dog positions. I think that that is really important for Jace's game, and that's kind of something that she has over Stephanie. The fact that, you know, Marty is just like, oh, Stephanie would have been my target, I wanted Stephanie to go, and kind of repeating that over and over again, it does put into, you know, the minds of all the people that they're playing with that, like, oh, like, we could get the numbers to get her out, or if she's not really working with us, we don't really need her here. So I can see her easily be going up as a pawn and then end up being the target, something like that, as soon as next week. So I don't see her doing that many strategic things. I like the fact that she is capable of doing well in competition. So maybe she'll get some power and she might be able to alter her fate in the game. But right now, she's at a four for me. She's doing okay.
The audience agrees. It's straight fours all across the board. Moose and Stephanie. All fours.
Aren't they in a showman's now? Like,
oh no, that's Ramon. Go? That's Ramon, I believe.
We'll see who goes up and who goes down.
Yeah. So let's move on and talk about Summer. Talk about Summer. And I've already forgotten who I started with last time. So I'm going to just
go. You started
with
me last time?
I don't know what I was thinking, because I started with Melissa and then I went to me and then I went to Chantel. And like, that's just such a messy order to try and remember every time. Because I like to recycle through. I should have started with myself and guys should have just done it in order of our pictures.
That's what you normally do.
Yes.
I don't know what I was thinking. I'll start with Summer here. I like Summer. I like Summer a lot. I feel like her position is not the greatest. She's a part of the Savage Seven, which is not like the most solid alliance in the world. She also has recently sort of gotten into a little bit of hot water unbeknownst to her, because people feel like her and Tanisha were scrambling after the replacement nominee happened, which leads them to believe that she was going to try and flip the vote on them, which is not super great. However, Tanisha is a bigger target than she is. People are looking at Tanisha a lot more than they're looking at Summer in how I see it. And I think Summer is also a much more active player than Tanisha, and somebody who I think, if she realizes she's in trouble, has enough connections and enough sort of wherewithal, like active play in her to make something happen. But I do worry for her right now. I think that she is in a position where she needs to be like working, and I don't think she's working enough, even though. I think that she's the kind of player that you'd look at and go like, oh, she might overwork. No, there's no overworking unless you're Moose. Summer needs to work more. I think she has potential. And, you know, as long as she doesn't get clipped because like Tanisha wins a veto or she just like somehow ends up on the block, I think she has the potential to reintegrate somewhere. So I'm pretty high on Summer. I'm going to give Summer a six. Six for Summer. Chantel, what do you think?
I really like Summer, and I feel as though we're not getting enough of her. I want to see her on the episodes. I want to see her diary rooms. I want to see a little bit more of her thought process. So it's hard for me to really gauge what her game is, because I haven't been seeing that much of her, but what I have been seeing, I do like. The fact that she, you know, it doesn't seem like people are wanting to target her that much, obviously, other than this whole ruse that kind of Marty's kind of setting her up for, being like, oh, well, I didn't tell people because I wanted to see their reaction. I'm like, how does this prove that she was going to flip the vote? Like, it doesn't to me. So I hope that she kind of gets a little bit of a handle of what's going on within the house and within the game and what her position is. I do think that she's liked by a lot of people. I don't think that people are going to want to target her anytime soon. So I think that that is better than average. Not much better than average, but I agree with you, Taryn. I think that she deserves a six, because I think that she is likable enough and she has good enough connections with people enough that if she kind of gets a little bit more intel and starts playing the game a little bit more, maybe if herself or Tanisha gets some power, we can see a little bit more from her. I think that she has the potential to do pretty well. So I'm going to give her a six like you.
The audience agrees with us. They gave Summer a 6. Melissa, what do you think?
I'm not sure with Summer. I feel like there's pros and cons, but I haven't, you're right. We haven't really seen enough to really know. I think that, you know, she is in the power alliance, which is good. Although it does seem like, I mean, and her and Tanisha even talked about the fact that they're on the bottom of that alliance. They believe that, which I guess is also good though, that the fact that they recognize that, plus the fact that she is in that power alliance, I do think it gives her at least a couple weeks, you know, to hopefully, you know, get a foothold in the game and, you know, maybe figure out other relationships other than that 6, or maybe solidify that 6 plus her 7. I don't really know, but that's why I think that maybe she's in a better spot than someone like Kevin or Jess, who, you know, don't have that a big alliance to fall back on. So I am interested in seeing what she has to offer. I am concerned that maybe she doesn't have the strategic part of it, just because we haven't seen a lot of it. But that's also because she hasn't really had to yet. But I don't think she should wait until she has to. I think she kind of needs to kick it into gear now. So I really think it could go either way. And at this point, I want to give her a 5.
All right. Let's move on to our final house guest of the night, Tanisha. And we will start with Chantal. How do you feel about Tanisha?
Similarly to Summer, I want to see more of Tanisha. One thing that I think was really good about her game was the fact that Marty felt that he wanted to take her to Wendy's, and that they have a little bit of a bond for the fact that they both speak French and they both have children. And so I like that she's making a very strong connection, it seems, with Marty. It kept her off the block. I don't like that Marty seems to be wanting to like pin this whole idea that she was part of maybe flipping the vote to keeping Jay. Don't really like that, but I do think that she has a pretty good handle on the game. I do think that people like having her around. She's making dinner for people every day. I think that that is also going to go the bode well, you know, for people like, yeah, like they're going to get butter chicken tonight. Like, that's amazing. And like, she has like a whole menu plan. So I think that she's doing some good social work with them, with the other house guests, that I think that she's going to be one to be kept in the game for a while. She's involved in a couple of the big alliances, which is good. And so I think I'm going to give her a 6 as well as Summer. So I think that she's a little bit differently set up than Summer, but I think she has a little bit more strategic chops than Summer does. But Summer, I think, has a little bit better social game. So they're kind of the same, but a little bit different. So they both get a 6 for me. So a 6.
All right. The audience also said 6. So, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everybody in that, you know, I do feel very similarly about Summer Tanisha that I do as Summer. You know, they're both in that same alliance. They both recognize they're at the bottom of that alliance. They're both, you know, kind of making relationships outside of it, but not quite strategic relationships. I guess they're making social bonds and all that. Yeah. But like, they're not translating that into like, how can this necessarily help me move forward? So I really don't know how it's going to go moving forward. I do like her a lot. And I really do hope that she, you know, has that strategic mindset. It does seem like, you know, when the two of them were talking, it did seem like, you know, you could catch that glimmer of like, okay, we know our position. We need to figure this out. And yet, like, I don't know what they're going to do with that information. But I do like her, but I feel similarly about her as I do with Summer. So I'm giving her a 5.
All right. I also gave Tanisha a 5. I feel like I'm not quite as high on Tanisha as I am on Summer. I think that for me, it's that Tanisha plays a little more passively. Summer plays a little more actively, and I am always going to prefer the more active player. Tanisha also has found herself in a little more hot water than Summer. I think Tanisha is a slightly bigger target at the moment, which is not how it should be considering their play styles. Tanisha could be in danger from Moose, from a couple of people because of her connection to this whole Jay thing. And I just don't know that she, again, is playing actively enough to do anything about it. She is the one that is preaching the most, it seems. Stick with a 7. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're locked in. and it's actually not a good place. I mean, I usually wouldn't hate that for Tanisha, but she doesn't have a good enough read on where the seven actually stands, because they're not together. Like, Moose is coming for you. and the other guys are like out. Like this is, you know, if she wins HOH, I think that'd be great for her. But I'm a little bit concerned here for Tanisha overall. So a 5 from me. And that's what we have for the stock watch. I feel like it's a pretty nice spread here. We got a couple of sevens across the board. Nobody reaching into an 8 yet. Nobody going too far below a 4 either. You know, Betty down at a 3, Jay at a 2 as the two nominees. Everybody else is a 4. We got some 5s, some 6s, and just a couple of 7s. And I think that reflects the game right now. It's a pretty even playing field. We have some people doing a little bit better than others. Some people doing a little bit worse than others, but that's where we're going for that. So there's only one more thing to talk about here. Now, if you want to play, the Stockwatch game, you want to participate, you can go to realitystockwatch.com and sign up there. You can buy or sell the players based on these ratings that they were just given. So, based on what we do next week, they will either increase in price or decrease in price, and you will make money or lose money on what you have in the stock watch if you choose to buy, who you choose to buy. It's a lot of fun. Again, go to realitystockwatch.com. I don't think you can buy quite yet, but you should be able to before Thursday, which is when the window will close and you will not be able to purchase. Now, Big Brother Canada has in the past had problems with spoilers. I think if we're still not doing audiences, then we still don't need to be concerned about spoilers. So as of right now, I think the window will remain open until the eviction episode starts on Thursday, which is about 8 p.m. Eastern. If for whatever reason spoilers come out, we may have to close early. So just be aware of that. But right now, I would say you have until 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday to make your decisions. One more thing to talk about, though, which is who's everyone's favorite player? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we doing here?
It's hard. I don't know.
It's very hard. I put it in order, I'm not confident.
All right. Here's what I want from the two of you. I want a top 3 and a bottom 3. And Chantel, if you've prepared, what do you got?
Okay, so from the audience's perspective, I'm thinking top 3 is Gino, Kyle, and Summer.
Okay. Melissa?
Oh, I bought a 3? Oh, sorry.
I'm thinking Gino, Summer, and I don't know who the last one is. I feel like Kyle would have dropped out of it. I feel like I'm seeing so much like anti-Kyle sentiment.
All right, give us one more name.
Maybe Helena?
Oh. Okay, here is the top 3. I polled the audience. I asked them to rank their player from their favorites from their least from the most to the least favorite. And number 1 player on the board is Helena.
Oh, oh wow! Go Melissa.
Oh, okay, all right.
Off my radar completely.
Number 2 is Tanisha.
Wow. Ooh, I didn't see that coming. I like her, but wasn't hearing a lot about her.
I'm shocked actually right now.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't heard anyone talk about her, so I'm surprised.
Number 3 is Summer.
Mm. Wow. So yeah. Gino didn't even make it.
Yeah, there I thought Gino would be up there because everyone's just like, I don't know. Like,
Gaga.
Yeah. Awuka, awuka.
All right, what do we have for the bottom 3, Chantel?
I put Kevin, Jessica, and Marty.
Okay, Melissa?
I would say oh gosh. I would say Stephanie, Jess, and I'm trying to remember who else is like on the board. I feel like we just talked about everyone, but the second the names all went out the door, I was like, wait, what? There we go. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I would say bottom three would probably be Stephanie, Jess, and maybe Moose. Honestly, I don't know. Moose or Marty. I don't know.
All right. Choose one. Choose one, Melissa.
All right, fine. Stephanie, Jess, and Moose. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't hate anybody. I don't think anybody hates anybody yet.
It's bottom of the list, you know.
Third to last on the list is Marty.
Oh, okay.
Marty. Second to last. I don't believe either of you mentioned this person. Jay.
Oh, I wasn't really considering them.
I considered it, but then I was like, you know, there could be a lot of people out there who like love what they're bringing. And like, I am seeing a lot of good things about Jay. So like, I was like, maybe that outweighs anyone who's like anti Jay. I don't know.
70% wanting Jay gone was a clue, I think.
Ah, yeah.
But last on the list, in last place, Stephanie.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that might be it.
There you go.
I didn't know they would care that much, but okay.
I didn't either. So what are you going to
do? Where was Kyle in it? I want to know because I want to know if he's dropped.
Here's the full list. Kyle was fourth place. It was Helena, Tanisha, Summer, Kyle, Kevin, Gino, Josh, Herman, Jess, JC, Moose, Betty, Marty, Jay, Stephanie.
I do not have my finger on the pulse here. Maybe as
it's a wild one. It's really all over the place.
It's hard. It's hard because I feel like we don't know anybody really that well yet. And we don't know, you know, I mean, and also I feel like there isn't like, sometimes at this point there's already like problematic people and I feel like we haven't really had that yet. So I feel like there's not obvious choices of like, oh yeah, they're at the bottom. Plus I feel like the sentiment on like Reddit and Twitter is not really cohesive right now. I feel like everyone's kind of like all over the place with their favorites. So, which is good. I'd much prefer that, but you know.
I do feel like Kyle is kind of, he's on his way down. I feel like he probably started at number one.
Oh yeah.
And has been going down the stairs.
See, the thing is that like, I get that people are like, oh, I don't like the cockiness. Like I get that because we don't like the cockiness on anyone. The second someone's like, I've got this game. It's like, okay, well now we need to take you down a peg or whatever. But I haven't seen Kyle do anything actually like bad at all. I don't get the Kyle hate. I think he's just like playing the game and wants to win. And yeah, the cockiness is not great, but like he's just invested. He's in it to win it. I don't see a problem with playing hard. And in terms of like personal stuff, I haven't seen him do anything personally that would make me upset. I think he definitely needs to like watch himself moving forward. If he keeps getting into like drama or if he keeps like, you know, getting into confrontations or he's just super cocky and is like, I've got this game on lock. Like he needs to just tone that down. I don't get why people are like necessarily like hating on him just yet. I still feel positive about Kyle.
Yeah. I thought that they would still be like rooting for him because he is the voice of the people really in the house. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that they were still going to give him, you know, their adoration, but I guess I was wrong. Very wrong.
It is interesting. Cause it's like everybody on the outside is like, yeah, we root for the underdogs obviously. And we hate when people think they like have the game down and that they're so cocky and they're, you know, number one and they're in charge. We hate that. We hate when people talk to the cameras and are like, oh, I've got this. Like, and then the second people go in the house, they like immediately do that stuff. And I could understand it from someone who like doesn't know the game or doesn't know like the online community or whatever, like for sure, because they don't know. They assume that's probably just like the way to do it. But, you know, the fact that Kyle was like part of everything and then it's like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to go in, start a bros alliance, which like everyone universally hates. And then like I'm going to like be super cocky to the cameras. Like it's like, what you doing? That's not how you make fans.
I don't think he was very deeply entrenched. Again, well, one of the first things I said was like, he did not talk to me before going in that house. I'll tell you that.
True. I do feel like he probably should have talked to more people about it. Maybe he just thought that he knew it. I don't know. I feel like it always makes me think, like, I would love to see someone from like RHAP on, like, one of the podcasters on the show, so that way when they come on and podcast about it, we could get like an insider, like someone from the outside who knew it, and then someone who then lived it, like why people do certain things the way they do, or like what makes you think that, like how do you not know who's an underdog and who's not, like how do you think that you are the hero of the story? Like I want to know how it like kind of twists your mind in that way. And I feel like unless you're like really involved in the community, then go into the house, like you won't know, because you won't be looking out for that sort of stuff. I don't know. I just feel like if we just had Taryn on the show, or we had Brent on the show, or somebody, like I just honestly would have loved to see everybody, someone from our, if Kirsten could have just.
All right. Now you're just bringing up
subject. I know. Yeah. I know. I hate it too.
You know, not like I haven't auditioned every year.
Have you?
Yeah. Of course.
My God. I only auditioned once and I did not get a single like response. So I was like, all right, that dream is dead. It's over for me. That was back in like what? Like it was back for 20 or Big Brother 17. Mm. I applied for that one and that was it. I was like, all right, well, they clearly don't want me. I'm out of here.
All right, Big Brother, make it happen.
Taryn, have you ever applied?
I have not. No.
Never.
Are you just like, are you like, well, I'm not going to apply at this point. They better reach out to me. Like they should know who
I am. Would love that.
I've always said I'd much sooner do Survivor. It's like a fourth of the time at this point. And it used to be double the money. Now it's not quite, but it's more money. And it's, I would probably sooner do that, but it's, at the same time, like I love talking about it, you know?
Yeah. If they did like a celebrity length of Big Brother, like that would be way more something I would consider. Like the length of it is like, I can't take that time off of work. I would be fired. Like I can't do that. But like maybe like the shorter amount of time, maybe I could. But, you know, I think that's why they don't get people who are like usually like have professional careers on Big Brother. Whereas on Survivor, you can get that for sure. I don't know.
Well, let's also not forget that time that I was almost on Big Brother 23, right? So,
true. Well, but that was them asking you. Like they asked.
That was I just sequestered myself. Really.
Yeah, you were like, I'm not going to apply. If they want me, they come to me.
Anything else? Any final thoughts on the week of Big Brother Canada 10, Melissa?
So far, so good. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. I like that the power alliances are not solid. Cause I think that opens the door for a lot more interesting things to happen. I think it really all depends on who the next HOH is. So I'm excited to see it.
All right, Chantel, any final thoughts?
Totally agree. I'm really excited to see who the next HOH is going to be, because I want to see what they're going to do. And I really hope it's one of the people that the audience was hoping that would win it next, one of the top people, because I just want to see everything just shake it up and just see how things are actually going to land. And I really like that we did this today, because like now I have a really good understanding of where people are in the game, and it's going to help me be more excited and following along with the gameplay. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I think it's been a strong first week. I think it's because I love the characters or the people that are playing. And so I'm hopeful that it'll be a good season. So thumbs up.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week on the Big Brother Canada 10 Roundtable Podcast. Make sure you go and check out realitystockwatch.com if you want to play along at home week to week. We'll have some fun with that. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. And tomorrow night during the episode, I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, to watch the episode with all of you. I'll then be watching Survivor. We will have a recap for tomorrow night's episode out. Not live, but sometime later that night. So make sure you tune in for that. And then Thursday, of course, we will have our live eviction and recap for you there as well. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find the Taryn Show with Ty and with Kevin Martin this week if you want to check that out. Check out my Raised by Wolves coverage with Josh and Grace. Chantel, what are you up to?
I mean, you can hang out with me on my YouTube channel, Reality Realness with three S's, or if you're just looking for me on social media, at ShanFranFran on Instagram has all my gazillion socials for all the million different things that I do in my life. So come find me. We can hang out. It's fun times.
All right. And you can, of course, find Melissa. And it's Melissa. With three A's.
I like my new theme.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight, and we will see all of you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.